ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. Oh, my God, she's here on time. What the hell? I was going to use my new iPhone personal assistant to call her. Let's try it anyway, shall we? I figured out how to use my iPhone personal assistant.
Isn't it nice?
Oh, it's, well, listen, you forgot the soundbite CD and the soundbite list today, so let's try this. Let's see here. Okay. Fire Chris LaVoy. Let's see what it says.
Mm-hmm. I don't know what you mean by.
Just do it. You know what I mean.
Chris, you have an ally.
Yes, Siri loves me.
I don't know what you're talking about.
You probably mistreated
her.
Don't play
dumb with me, Siri.
You probably mistreated her.
I'll throw a stapler at your head, Siri.
Chris and I.
Call Aisha Tyler.
Chris and I will be occupying the radio station.
Good. Oh, it's time to jingle her.
Aisha Tyler, actress, author, and activist.
So if today's Tuesday, that gives us
Tuesdays with Tyler.
Oh, I am also Aisha Tyler. Rocky start with my Siri assistant.
Uh-oh, why?
It's clearly, she thinks I'm a big biatch now. Good morning, Aisha Tyler. At
least you're getting the pleasantries out of the way early in the relationship, which is nice. I had somebody send me a fan mail using his Siri assistant last night.
I got an email from a Siri assistant last night.
Right? Yeah, right? It was pretty impressive. And the whole email was like any other email. And then at the end...
She's over there feeling hurt now. She just used me for a comedy bit on the show.
Yeah, and
you
throw
me
away.
I don't know what you mean by fire.
I don't understand. And then at the end, I dictated this. Oh, Chris.
Oh, Chris, are you okay?
Defending chair. Defective. Oh. Chris just delicately bounced to the ground. It was adorable. I dictated this whole thing to my Siri. Aww. My husband is testing it out. So far, he's just been sending me like lovey texts.
Oh,
yeah, Siri's head. Yeah. Siri's vomiting.
I was exposed to this at Sexy Liberal in Detroit in the back of the car all the way from the airport.
Oh, adorable, adorable.
Thanks for bringing back. We're adorable. Our world eggs with the separate.
He got up this morning and he wore my boiled eggs up in hot water so they would be warm when I ate them. He's really awesome. I know. Then he went back to bed. He's like, and now get out.
And scene.
Yeah.
That's enough of that. Hopefully that'll get me laid.
Jesse, such a problem for you being
just enough.
Unattractive as you are.
Oh, after a long time with anyone, you know, it doesn't matter who you are. I'm sure Leonardo DiCaprio is having a hard time.
You do that bit in your stand-up about you lay just the right way, so he Beyonce side.
Beyonce side. One side train wreck, other side Beyonce. Just look at the left side. Don't look at the right side.
I'm a new Apple, like 2 days, right, Chris? I'm a new Apple girl.
Oh,
I just got
exciting. It's your first Apple product?
Yes, I just gave up on Blackberry Storm.
You have a Mac at home, but that...
Yeah. What were you using before, like a flip phone? Tin Cannon String.
Oh. Blackberry Storm.
Oh, yeah. Blackberry.
I know. Everybody's getting rid of Blackberry.
Yeah.
You know,
Steve Jobs caused the BlackBerry outage from heaven, and I got an iPad and a...
Sending you a message. The BlackBerry is lovely if you want to send... I always tell people this, so they were asking me to make a BlackBerry app for my show, and there's an Android app and there's an iOS app, and I said, look, the BlackBerry is not for listening to things. The BlackBerry is for sending angry missives to your broker.
Yeah.
It's not for listening to podcasts or music.
Right.
You need a different device for that. The BlackBerry does one thing and one thing well, and that's be 1%.
So I'm clear. You're right. I'm currently figuring out all my new apps,
Stephanie,
the kids are saying.
You can listen to your podcast as well as Aisha's podcast on your iPhone.
On your iPhone. Do you guys have, and this is so exciting, do people subscribe? They can subscribe on iTunes to the show.
Yes.
Because most
That's
of people
right.
stream
and
like
Stitcher.
On the day. And Stitcher. Oh, very cool.
Yeah. Yep.
I haven't figured out voicemail yet. You have to show me that.
Oh,
and
no.
I can't make it work Bluetooth in my car yet.
She's adorable because literally there's like a little symbol that just says like, listen to me.
Yeah.
I bet if you said to Siri, get my voicemail. She'd be like,
how do I set up my voicemail, Siri?
She'd
might be able to tell you.
He's still working on firing you, so I'd be nervous if I were you. Because these Apple products are ingenious. He's probably already calling the guy that owns the show.
Siri is filing her nails and updating her Facebook status.
Yeah.
She's like any other assistant.
By the time
in the world.
We hit this first commercial break, I'm pretty sure he'll be gone.
Yeah. Good luck running the board.
The guy that owns the show.
So she can't
read
out
call
to turn her voicemail.
All right. My point is, this just in. Did iPhone's new Find My Friends app just break up its first marriage?
Such a great story.
Yeah.
Such a great story.
This is so
great.
Awesome. The Find My Friend, it's an app that allows you to plot your friends on a map as if they were enemy ships on a blinking radar screen, according to Gawker.
No,
I don't like that at all.
This is creepy.
No, it is creepy.
But who, like, what adult, I get it for kids.
Kids.
But you can keep track of your kids, but who, what adult wants to enable
Nobody
this?
Does.
No, kids want to keep track of their friends.
Because you have to accept it. Anyway, it says, here's an example of how you might use it. Friend one, where's Bob? My birthday dinner started 45 minutes ago. Friend two, he just called. He said he's in a cab on the way here. Friend one, really? Because according to Find My Friends, he's still in bed.
Whoops. Whoops.
And he's with my wife.
Friends found. Fights, resentments, passive-aggressive paybacks to follow, according to Gawker.
Right.
If it only sounds invasive, you can take some comfort in the fact that only you must accept a Find My Friends invitation before it can begin tracking you.
Yes. But then if you're like most people who don't understand how most of their phone works.
Yeah.
You know, there's just like...
Stephanie.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. Your man or your woman.
Trust me, I've had my privacy invaded
because
of my lack of technological.
Seriously, this is just a list. Just like you're going to get lowjacked by your community.
You know, and even relatively technological adept people like me sometimes miss things.
You miss things. You're busy.
Yes.
You don't have time to like be scouring through the inner recesses of your phone all day long.
So that's the scenario that happened here. What if someone accepts it on your behalf without your knowledge?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this could happen to me. It was a scenario described by a Manhattanite in the Mac Rumors forum. This is where
this
people
is so great.
Yeah, who enabled the feature in the new iPhone 4S. That's what Mama has.
Mm-hmm.
So exciting.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That he bought for his wife, whom he suspected was cheating.
What?
I got my wife a new 4S and loaded up Find My Friends without her knowing. She told me she was at her friend's house in the East Village. I've had suspicions about her meeting this guy who lives uptown. Lo and behold, Find My Friends has her right there. I just tested asking where she was, and the dumb bitch said she was on 10th Street. Thank you, Apple. Thank you, App Store.
Wow.
Thank you all. These beautiful treasure troves of screenshots are going to play well when I meet her at the lawyer's office in a few weeks.
Whoops.
Yeah.
And then there's a little text, like there's a little series of texts where he's like, do you see the screenshots? He's like, where are you? And she doesn't respond. And, hey, I'm just worried about you. And then she doesn't respond. And then finally she's like, I couldn't get a taxi. And then the little map is that. He writes, where are you that you can't respond to me?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it was pretty funny.
What do you have in your mouth?
Oh no. Stephanie, you
Come
did
on,
that. You
no.
did it, not me.
Oh.
It was for once. Sorry. For once, it wasn't me.
Gawker says, how can you avoid a similar fate? Beware jealous boyfriends and spouses bearing GPS-enabled gifts.
Right, exactly.
Here,
I bought you a phone, baby.
When I bought you, click. Suddenly, you're like a whale or a dolphin that's been tagged
that's what
for
me. Seems like when we're gonna wake up, there's gonna be one of the subcutaneous needles. You just wake up and someone shot you in the neck with some chip.
Right.
Like the beginning of Escape from New York.
We will never lose you.
hilarious. All right, so damn it. iPhone 4S has only been out, a few days already.
Since Friday.
A cheating biatch has been snagged. All right.
And then then they just look at you, you know, they just Google Earth you. I'm on 10th Street. I see what you're doing. Put your pants up.
Where's my heavenly choir? Somewhere Steve Jobs is in heaven. He's, you know, because he's Apple God. He's
right.
Like, that's not how I asked my technology to be used.
Or
you're
maybe
not supposed to use the superpowers that way.
Or maybe that was exactly what he wanted.
Yeah.
Keep track of the Apple army. You know what I mean? No, Mr. Jobs, we're counting inventory. Or like when that kid lost his phone. Remember the employee lost the prototype phone in the bar?
Right.
That happened twice.
Yeah.
You'd be like, you know, find the guy I'm going to fire is what they should have called that.
I'm just saying, if a thunderbolt, you know, hits that guy's GP, you know, the iPhone, we'll know that
we have
displeased
Steve
Jobs.
Well, it's a thoughtful thunder. It's a thunder that implies death rather than just
impending
it outright. Yes.
It's not dramatic enough. It's just a looming.
Yeah.
All right. The other breaking news. So Herman Cain and Mitt Romney are essentially tied in the new...
Going into tonight's debate.
It's so confusing.
Oh, it's great. Cable geek night for me.
What happened?
Republican debate.
If Herman Cain...
I know. Isn't it the most hilarious?
I don't know what's happening.
And you heard... Of course, you
this
heard
this country will absolutely... It will fall apart. Two black people running against each other for president? What do we do? Who do we vote for?
Republicans behind closed doors. We
really wanted to hear what you wanted. We just thought we would tell you what you wanted, and then you would tell us what we told you to want.
I have a new introduction for Herman Cain. Would you like to hear it?
Yes, please.
Okay,
here we go.
Ladies and gentlemen, here he is, the president of Godfather's Pizza, Herman Cain.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, that's from an actual Godfather's Pizza convention.
Isn't that great?
Oh, my God.
It's, yeah. It'll replace Hail to the
Chief.
Who
are those girls? What's happened?
What's happened to their
life?
They
were dressed in little pinstripe suits, you know, like Godfather.
And he ruined, he ruined my favorite song ever. Imagine is my favorite song in the world.
I heard that.
Yeah. Did you hear this?
No, no, I haven't heard that
you,
one.
No, no, you can't change the words. It's like ad-libbing Shakespeare. You can't change the words.
Oh, he's a megalomaniac. That's what he is? Okay. Yeah.
Cheesy lounge.
He's
band.
Just in the last couple days.
Imagine there's no pizza.
Oh no. Oh, he God, did this no. in the he just did this in the last couple of days?
No, no, in 86, I think.
Couldn't if I
cried. Oh, God, it's sacrilege. It's sacrilege.
Like terrible, inappropriate uncle.
Eating only tacos.
Okay, I can't hear it anymore. I cannot hear my favorite song defiled.
We thought you were going to, when you said you had a new theme for him, I thought it was going to, when the moon hits your eye, yeah. Like a big pizza pie.
No, this is in the last couple of days. First of all, we have this incredibly wacky, awful 999 plan. Then he's going to electrify the fence between, and with predator drones.
People, and they're loving it. The tea dummies are loving it.
Yeah.
They're loving it,
and,
right?
And then, of course, our favorite is that he said, poor people, his tax is okay because they can eat used food.
Used food. At, like, dig it out of the trash can?
No. There's a place to get it.
Come on down to Used Foods Emporium. Thanks to President Kane, all of our used foods are now 100% tax-free. This week's special are assorted sun-dried mammals, only 99 cents a pound. You can't resist that crunchy goodness. Be sure to visit the produce department for fresh-found fruit from neighboring grocery store dumpsters. We have the softest apples in town. That's a fact. While you're at Used Foods Emporium, stop by the hot used foods table for a wide variety of body temperature dishes freshly eliminated and regurgitated by our friendly staff all the live long day. And don't forget, all of our used foods are 100% tax-free. This week, kids get free ABC gum with a purchase of $20 or more. Used Foods Emporium, now with 999 convenient locations.
I really enjoyed that. I thought that was sensationally funny. I could have done without the fart noises. But other than that, when's the last time you've heard the phrase ABC gum?
I know.
It was like, just taking me back to middle school. It was awesome. I love vintage
Mike
terms.
And
that all was right. Nicely done. ABC
yay,
gum.
Mike and Raleigh.
How many times you fell for ABC gum when you were a kid?
Yeah.
I'd love some ABC gum. What is that?
What is it?
And then,
awesome.
Oh, not again.
Mm. Oh, curses.
Curses. Trot curses President Kane. Oh, 19 God. Minutes after the hour. Back with more Tuesdays with Aisha Tyler.
So happy to be here.
Stephanie Miller Show.
Now, what is this mess?
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
Oi!
By the way,
yes.
Need to issue a correction.
What is it?
That was that Youth Food Emporium was Ken in Cleveland. It was not Mike
dear
and Raleigh. So,
God.
Yeah. So I apologize for that.
The Stephanie Miller Show wishes to. You know what? I'm gonna fire you again.
Let me get Siri.
That is the second firing offense this morning.
There was a first one I missed in the first 3 minutes.
Siri, my personal assistant, has quite the soft spot for incompetent underlings.
She does. Well, look, she's compassionate.
Yeah. I don't know what you mean.
Compassionate computer.
That's what Siri said. I don't know what you mean, Fire Chris Lavoy. What was unclear about that, Siri?
Did it spell my name right?
Yes.
Yes, so. I know. That's amazing that
right?
It does.
Right?
It was programmed in for easy firings.
Exactly.
Yeah.
All right. So, by the way, as if Tuesdays with Tyler isn't exciting enough, Richard Wolf coming up, David Schuster, and Charlie Pierce.
Yep.
All on the big Tuesday show.
Yeah.
Very
exciting.
It's a happy thing.
It's like MSNBC crawled out of the radio and into your lap.
Exactly.
Into your lap.
Or current.
With a short
current.
Skirt on.
Current crawled up on one side of your lap and MSNBC on the other side.
And then Esquire just kind of deep-throated you.
Nice.
No.
And there we are again. And I want to point out that one more was not me. It was not
MSNBC
me.
MSNBC and current not holding me. Both of your legs. And
it's not me with this moderately sexy/sexual assault scenario.
Yeah. We are the two kids that would have been separated in class forever.
Oh, yes.
From, like, starting in first grade right up till high school
Chris
graduation.
Is egging us on from behind and throwing wads of paper.
Do it. Do it.
It's going to be great.
All right.
It's going to be funny. Hey, teacher's going to love it.
Speaking of Mike and Raleigh,
yes.
Did he decimate another Beatles song?
Yes, he did.
Yes. All right. Here we go.
One, two, three, four.
G'day, this is Rupert Murdoch, and we'd like to speak out on behalf of the billionaires. Everybody talk about occupation, regulation, copulation, defecation, work percentage, pizza dinners, bumper tax, Goldman Sachs, lying sacks of crap, pharma haters, job creators.
All we are paid is 10% tax.
On behalf of the filthy rich and ourselves, and I hope we pass the audition.
That's horrible.
Yay.
Who are these people with unlimited personal free time?
Oh.
It's so impressive.
They actually work really hard on these.
And yeah. That's the thing. They're amazing.
Yeah.
And I just think...
Yeah, they give.
Independently wealthy, they do. They give it. You're independently wealthy fans that are sitting around making
very,
music
very talented,
incredibly talented.
Yeah.
A million Steve Jobs, just
right.
Yeah,
and they're one, and they're never. They don't suck. Like that was great.
And
yeah. It's awesome. Right. That's so impressive.
It's awesome.
I made a fried egg yesterday. So there you go. That's my contribution. That guy made two songs, two sketches. I fried an egg. And there you go.
You changed the name of her podcast to Apropos of Nothing.
Yes, exactly. Look, I tell
the
truth.
Hello, welcome to That's So Random with Aisha Tyler.
I tell the truth no matter how ugly or uninteresting.
No, your podcast is awesome. It's a guy on girl.
Girl on guy.
Girl on guy.
Girl on guy.
Sorry,
I
haven't been there in a while. So.
I know. How
I just
saw
work
Adam,
anymore? The Adam Savage one was
uploaded. Yeah.
I can't wait to listen to that.
That was so great. He, by the way, two-second story, has like a man lair, and it is filled with all of the things that you dreamed of buying and owning when you were like seven.
Yeah.
He has a full-size C-3PO. He has a collection of lightsabers. He has the original spacesuit from the Alien movies, and he's recreating it for himself. And I think, well, I don't know if this is a secret, Guillermo del Toro. Some director. A director rhymes with what I just said. And he has all of the paraphernalia from the Bourne Supremacy movie, like all the Bourne movies, like the Krugerrands and the passports.
Bourne, yeah.
It's so cool.
You're such a dude.
Salivated on him, like, into his face. I was like, this is the greatest place I've ever been in my life.
And like, I don't think Stephanie has any idea who Adam Savage is.
Oh, Adam Savage from Mythbusters. Mythbusters.
Sure.
Yes, Adam Savage from Mythbusters.
I know who
Mythbusters.
What the Bourne movies are.
Yeah, you did, and you were like, Jason Bourne, not the other Bourne.
No.
not Ira Bourne. Jason Bourne.
Oh,
you're adorable. Right, you're like a little cockapoo. You're so cute.
Thank you. All right. Did you see the Clinton thing at the Hollywood Bowl? The Clinton Initiative tickets were what, Chris? $1 million?
VIP tickets were $1 million.
Oh, my God. That's a lot of money.
Yeah, that is a lot of money.
By the way, two sold-out sexy liberal shows in L.A. This weekend.
The tickets are not $1 million.
They were not $1 million.
No.
Just by way of, reference. By the way, pick up some. There's single seats every now and again. You can pick up some sexy liberal strange.
Yeah.
Because I'm telling you, it's like sexy liberal dating game.
Mm-hmm.
When there's...
But the sexy liberals are turned on.
Yes.
It's like a swinger party. Drop your keys in a bowl on the way in. See what happens.
They have some exciting Aisha Tyler news.
What?
Speaking of sexy liberal, not yet.
Oh, you don't no, say.
Not
secret,
yet.
Secret.
Secrets. Yep. You know how those naked pictures ever just pop up all over
God.
The place and... Somehow.
I've got to take a new naked picture. I'm just going to take a new naked picture where I just have like a man's body. Like I just need to lay off the commercial milk.
I was going to share my favorite moment at the Clinton, but I will after the break because, seriously, Chris, you'll love this. This is so me. It has me written all over it.
Oh.
Yes.
I can't wait to hear.
Moment at the Hollywood Bowl.
Oh, dear.
All right. David Schuster, the dreamy David Schuster, joins us next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller
was so devastated by losing Homecoming Queen, she walked into a Dunkin' Donuts and never came out.
Yep. Why don't we take these weird culinary detours when Aisha's here? Why are we talking about ambrosia?
Oh,
I don't.
Ambrosia.
It's disgusting.
I love it.
so delicious. We were talking about the fact that Chris and I have shared ethnic background. Yeah. My husband's Irish.
He was also born a poor black child.
Exactly. Sure, but, yeah. You know, who wasn't really nowadays? Uh-huh. We're all the 99. And and my husband's family, like, they had similar eating habits, which was a love, just an unnatural love of ham. Yep. An unnatural love of ham.
Yes.
My husband's mother, we would be Tuesday, and she'd be making, like, a whole haunch of pig. We'd be like, who's going to, oh, yeah, it's for snacking. Yeah. Mom, we're going to be snacking on this until November.
And you told the story of being face down in the ambrosia at the salad bar.
Oh, yes.
I love ambrosia.
It's so delicious. Yeah. And when I was a kid, anything with marshmallows in it, honestly, you could have gotten me to eat salad if you put marshmallows in there.
That's just wrong.
Oh,
it's morally wrong.
It had tiny oranges.
Yep. And you felt like if you got the maraschino cherry, you won a prize.
You won a prize. Mm-hmm. Like the baby in the king cake.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I don't have many moral values, but one of them is that marshmallows do not belong in vegetables of any kind. Like, here's your green beans with Skittles.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I think
those
is delicious?
Those onion strips on top.
David Schuster.
Oh,
David.
Adorable.
Thank you, Queen Segway. Good morning, David Schuster.
Good morning, Stephanie. Great to be with you this morning.
Nice to be with you. You're our own personal ambrosia.
Oh, that was nice. Now
I'll eat marshmallows with you anytime.
Oh. Sweet. Is it me? Am I just a really political cable news geek? But I'm so excited there's another Republican debate tonight, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm sort of wondering, I mean, who's going to cheer and do something really inappropriate? I mean, and you know, the one thing I love is because this is the CNN debate, and CNN has not had the best of luck. I mean, they had, you know, Wolf Blitzer sitting silent when everyone was sort of cheering executions of the death of somebody who didn't have health insurance. And then the debate before, there was a CNN moderator who kept asking, Coke or Pepsi, deep dish or thick crust? Or thin crust? I mean, it's just, you know, the questions have been silly. So I think CNN owes us at least a good debate tonight.
Right. At least they didn't host the booing the gay soldier debate. That was,
I mean, there's always been something strange at each of these. And I actually thought the Bloomberg debate last week was pretty substantive, but because it was Bloomberg, nobody watches.
Well, and it took so long just to find the channel that you miss most of it. But is it me or is this just a, you know, peculiarly wacky Republican field this year? I mean, Herman Cain just alone. First of all, there's his completely incomprehensible 999 plan that David Gregory made mincemeat of last Sunday on Meet the Press. But then it's like we're going to electrify the fence and... I mean, it's like a thing a day, a crazy thing a day, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, I think it actually the Herman Cain phenomenon, though, does get to something serious in that. I do think this is maybe shaping up as what I like to call sort of the inside-out election, and that is there is just such a visceral hatred right now of anybody sort of in politics or part of the political establishment that I think somebody like Herman Cain, who comes across as this, you know, clear sort of outsider whose ideas don't make a ton of sense, because everything's very simple and everything can be reduced in his view. Every piece of legislation should be 3 pages. Well, in reality, it doesn't work that way, but it has a tremendous amount of appeal, I think, to a lot of people who are so upset with the political system and feel like we really need somebody who is from outside who can come up with some very big, simplistic ideas and shake things up. I'm not sure in reality, even if, you know, that person had the right ideas, it's that simple. But it gets to the, I think, frustration that both on the right and the left that folks are having.
What, you know, when you say that, it reminds me of what a lot of people are saying about Occupy Wall Street. What is your take on that?
You know, Occupy Wall Street, I think, has been intriguing in so many levels. And I've been, you know, spending just about every other day I go down to the Occupy Wall Street here in Washington at McPherson Square. And it's been remarkable. The one unifying thing, which I think a lot of my colleagues in the media tend to miss, and that is regardless of what the particular issue is that people have, the one sort of unifying issue I keep hearing is that everyone wants to take money out of politics, that have some sort of campaign finance reform or publicly financed elections. And the idea being that if you level the playing field, then all these various issues that you're concerned about, whether it's student loans or whether it's war or whether it's the pharmaceuticals, that all the sort of incredible power that corporations and lobbyists have in Washington and that the financial industry has in particular, that starts to go away. And so I think some of my media colleagues have made a mistake saying, oh, they don't have a unifying message. Well, no, yes, they do. They want to try to sort of even out at least the political aspect of this. And, oh, by the way, we should all be upset about the fact that the income gap has gotten so much greater between wealthy and between middle class and poor.
David, so the Republican field, obviously the latest CNN poll has Herman Cain and Mitt Romney about tied. You know, as we know, there really has been literally a different flavor for the month every week. There's been a different front runner. What, I mean, is this what everybody says, though, that it's going to be Romney, no matter how many of these cycles we go through?
You know, I'm not so sure about that. I mean, I keep, you know, Romney's at, what, like 23%, which is where he has been this entire primary, which is where he was, I believe, back in 2008 when Mike Huckabee beat him in Iowa. So, I mean, I do think, I mean, Romney is just sort of, he's hit a plateau and he's capped. And the question is, can Herman Cain be taken seriously by enough folks or generate enough enthusiasm by people who are like, you know what, to hell with politics. I've never been part of the political system before, but I like this guy Herman Cain, so I'm going to come out and vote in the caucuses and the primaries. And I actually think that there's a better chance Herman Cain is able to do that than people think. I mean,
however, I've noticed a subtle whiff of racism among the Tea Party. And so I'm just curious how you think that might play out, David.
Yeah, I mean, I think it would be great for our country if Herman Cain were able to win the Iowa caucuses and the New Hampshire, you know, Republican primary, because I think those are the most conservative and borderline sort of racist electorates that that you will find. I've had this sort of running debate with friends who, and I've said, look, I think even though people may say, yeah, I like Herman Cain, I think there are certain people in the Republican Party, the Tea Party, who just cannot fathom pulling the lever for an African-American man, regardless of his views. Now, I hope I'm proven wrong. I hope that, you know, the Republicans are not, you know, that sort of fringe element is much smaller than I think it is, and that Herman Cain is able to sort of win the Iowa caucuses in New Hampshire primary.
Aisha and I, comedy-wise, are really the specter of two black men running against each other for president.
It's so interesting to me because I feel like if he got the nomination, people would just be confused. They wouldn't know what to do. I just feel like they'd rip off their clothes and run screaming down the streets of America. I mean, it would be mayhem. But this is an example of the fact that they don't have anybody who is conservative enough to satisfy their base,
right,
yet moderate enough to get elected in a general. And if it's Mitt Romney, the conservative base is confused by his religion. And if it's Herman Cain, the conservative base is confused by his color.
But David, isn't that true? It's like a collision of different bigotries.
Do I dislike black people more than I dislike the Mormons?
Right.
I don't know.
Right.
I think the Republican Party has very much of a sort of an identity crisis, and I've always sort of felt that maybe the Tea Party impact has always sort of been overstated,
mm-hmm.
just because they were showing up at those town halls with guns and neo-Nazi signs and whatnot, that everyone was very sort of frightened and said, oh my God, look at this incredible power. And yes, at a certain level, in certain districts, they've had enormous power in terms of primary candidates and whatnot, but I don't think that they are as powerful in sort of a Republican presidential primaries or even certainly a general election as people seem to think, and I sort of wonder if maybe Herman Cain will prove that by getting a lot of votes in Iowa, New Hampshire.
And I think also he's representative of this kind of ill-educated hysteric that is the center of the Tea Party. This lack of understanding about how the economy really works, this lack of understanding of how the government really works. So he's a guy. His 999 plan is clearly representative of someone who doesn't understand how the government functions.
Right.
And that's also what the Tea Party is. They don't get it. You know,
right.
They think we can do a 10% across the board tax and somehow the country is still going to function.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's the thing is, I think especially in difficult economic times, everybody wants one big simple solution, and it's not big, it's not simple that will solve the problem, and yet I think so many people in the electorate want that to be the case, and so it means that Herman Cain has tremendous appeal, whether it's he talks about 999 or just the way he sort of deals with various other questions. I think it's fascinating.
Mm-hmm. Well, he seemed to. I mean, you probably saw Meet the Press. I mean, it seems kind of incomprehensible. Not just the plan, but he thinks that people are going to rise up and demand it, that their taxes be raised.
Yeah, I mean that's sort of strange. The other thing about the Meet the Press that I thought was sort of jaw-dropping was when he didn't quite know what a neoconservative
That's
is.
What I said yesterday. Yeah, yeah.
And,
that was his Sarah Palin moment. And this is regarding in what respect?
Neoconservative, I mean, that's not a very complex, I mean, that's been a major sort of policy discussion, at least in political circles.
For 25 years?
Yeah, for several years.
Yeah.
And so to sort of not have any idea about that, I thought was jaw-dropping. And then, but then if you say, well, he follows the wisdom of John Bolton, well, that's also crazy.
The wisdom.
The guy wanted to eliminate 10 stories of the United Nations. I mean, that's a pretty controversial view. And at some point, I believe Mitt Romney or somebody else has got to engage Herman Cain instead of just sort of saying, well, I'm going to ignore the guy. guy, be nice to the guy. At some point, one of the Republicans has got to stand up and say, look, we need to have a serious discussion in this party about policy and foreign policy and what exactly is it that you believe, because there are some clear differences.
Well, I'm going to make a prediction that it won't be Rick Perry, A, because he sucks at debating, and B, because he has a ranch named N-Word Head. So he's probably not going to be the guy.
He's folded. Even if people secretly agree with him, I think they understand how damaging that's going to be in a general election.
Yeah, who knew that when they said that he needed more sleep before these debates that he was actually going to be sleeping during the debate?
Nice. David Schuster with the tip-in at the buzzer. frequently fills in for our friend Keith Olbermann on Countdown on Current TV, and just a general delight. Thank you, David.
Stephanie, always a pleasure. Great way to start my Tuesday. You guys have a great week.
Thanks, honey. All right. There he goes. Yeah. I love him. I love him in a way that Mrs. Schuster wouldn't enjoy.
And you can follow him on Twitter, too, at David Schuster.
He makes me feel nasty. Oh, here's my favorite moment at the Hollywood Bowl concert. Mm-hmm. The review in the LA Times says, there are a few pleasures in concert going, like watching the Secretary of State get low to Usher's tag team Crunk Smash Yeah. Because you know why? She's like me. She's a lady in the street.
Freaking
the bed. Go, Hillary. Yeah, my girl. I knew it.
Was she really getting low?
She was a freak in the bed.
I mean, with as much respect as I can ever possibly muster, I love her and support her in every way.
Yes.
But I just imagine Hillary's low is just a couple of inches below normal.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, here I am getting low.
I'm just because I've been accused.
She looks a little brittle.
I'm a strong woman, I'm a feminist, and I'm just saying, if you can dance to it, you know. I know people are like, this is so anti-feminist. Hillary Clinton was getting down to it.
Right?
Yeah.
And a freak in the bed.
That's right, yeah.
And then that whole Lady Gaga, Bill
Maryland
Clinton
moment
thing.
That was Well, she was coming up to Hillary and Bill in different songs.
She's supportive.
Awkward.
Chelsea was right there singing along.
Oh, God.
That was a little like, ooh.
Yeah.
Well, just because of Bill's history, it was a little like, oh.
Right.
Although she's definitely not Bill's type.
No. No, she...
Hillary had that smile plastered on.
She is not Bill's type, Gaga. No. I don't think she'd be the intern that would stand out.
No, not at all.
All right, kids, 46 minutes after the hour. YouSendIt.com, it's the solution to everything in life.
In everything.
Seriously? Oh, you know what? I was just, in fact, I was just telling my girlfriend Lisa, who's a realtor, she needs, she still goes to the office to get faxes or
whatever.
I'm like, what? They have e-signature.
Yes.
On YouSendIt.com. We send our whole vacation montage. We send it to you because the file is too big. There's pictures and music, and you have to send things separately. You know how that is.
And even if you're just sending a whole bunch of pictures, you know, your email service always breaks it up into three different.
Here's 10 emails from me. Thanks for that. That was fun.
You don't need to do that with YouSendIt.
The new way to send large files is the all-new YouSendIt. You can send files from any computer, your iPad, your smartphone. That's the other thing.
Your mind.
Being a technophobe, I've always felt chained to my desktop. I'm always like, oh, well, I'll send that to you when I get home.
Mm-hmm. Don't need
Not
to.
Anymore.
Computer says no.
No, my computer used to say no. Now
it says yes.
Now it says yes. Because I have the all-new YouSendIt. With the all-new YouSendIt Pro Plus, you get unlimited sending, signing, and storage. The e-signature, that alone, how amazing. YouSendIt's new e-signature allows you to sign and send back documents from wherever you are. No more of that. FedExing, Messenger, scanning, forget it.
Right? Even the scanning is a pain in the bottom.
Oh,
yeah, it is.
Right in the bottom.
Please. I have a special 30-day free trial offer of YouSendIt Pro Plus. That's unlimited sending, signing, and storage free for 30 days. To get this offer, you must go to YouSendIt.com. That's YouSendIt.com. Click on the radio microphone. Enter my name, Stephanie. That's YouSendIt.com. Promo code Stephanie. 47 minutes after the hour, back with more Tuesdays with Tyler. On the Stephanie Miller Show.
And a freaking bear.
Join the party. 1-800-STEPH-12.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. Tuesdays with Aisha Tyler.
Hey.
Hello. 52 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12. Lavender Pitt, the official roller derby queen of the Stephanie Miller Show in Tucson, Arizona. Hi, Lavender.
Morning, Mama.
Morning, Lou.
Hello.
She says it every time.
She's a sitcom character, and she says it exactly the same way. All right.
So it's day four of Occupy Tucson.
Yay!
I just swung by the park on my way to work, and what was the first thing I saw but a happy little hippie policing the area, picking up all the garbage, making sure everything's tidy.
Don't you love hippies?
Aww.
I heard at one of the...
I was fooling with the hippies all weekend.
Yeah.
I heard one of the Occupies, someone yelled to a cop, "You deserve a raise," and the cop just smiled.
It's confusing when they make sense.
There was a march on the financial district of Tucson, the whole block of it.
Yeah.
And there were many cops on bikes making sure that people crossed in the crosswalk and that everything was good. And they were so polite. When I was on my bike filming and I was holding the camera and going down the street, and they were like, "Watch out and stay in the proper traffic lanes, ma'am." And I said, "You betcha." Just for the irony of it all.
Yes, officer. Like a 50s commercial. Yeah. Yes, officer. Lavender, are you always... I picture you as always on wheels of some kind, either roller skates or a bicycle or, like you're some sort of mythical character. The bottom half of you is actually wheels.
No. That sounds a little dirty.
Oh, you trashy little roller skating girl. All right, Joe in she is actually in the roller derby league.
Yeah.
Well, with a name like Lavender, how could she not
be? But she's also a school teacher.
Yes.
Oh, okay. By day.
Yes. With a name like Lavender, there are two jobs. Roller derby or the pole.
The pole, my friend. The Joe pole. In Spokane, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Good morning, guy and gal.
Hello.
Hey, we had a march Saturday here in Spokane, Washington, which is a pretty right-wing kind of Republican area. 1,000 people marched downtown Spokane.
Awesome.
And the thing that is interesting is most of these people are in their 40s and 50s, and then there were younger people, but I always hear these reports on the news, it's these young people, these are middle-aged people who are marching in Spokane, a right-wing suburban area, so... It was pretty neat. And the message everyone kind of had was get the money out. Our politics have been bought, and people are really tired of that.
Yep, I hear you. All right, let's dive into the right-wing world, see what's doing, shall we? Yeah, Liz Cheney, the demon seed on Fox News Sunday.
I think in terms of President Obama, what he's doing politically, he may think makes sense. I think it's actually scarier than that, though. I think he really believes it.
Oh,
I think that he's now put forward so many policies that aren't working economically and that are not working for him politically, that you've got to at some point say it must be ideology. It must be that he really believes in redistribution of the wealth.
Yeah, just like your dad and Bush really, really believed that tax cuts for the rich and unnecessary wars would not create any deficits of any kind.
No,
or leave any sort of mess.
It'd bring prosperity the way it did in the 30s and the 50s. Just build some bombs. Everyone's going to get a job. Everyone gets a job making bombs.
Rush Limbaugh talking once again about his imaginary friend.
Snurdly's in there yelling at me. If you do what you just suggested with Paul, there's going to be rioting in the streets. There's rioting in the streets now. And there's going to be more rioting in the streets because that's part of the program here. And next up, there are going to be race riots. I guarantee you, the race riots are part of the plan that this regime has. That's next.
Oh, my
God. Really?
Wow.
You must have gotten that memo. I must have gotten it.
Doesn't he just sound like some kind of crazed, unwashed Howard Hughes, peering out of a slit window in a bunker?
Fingernails growing.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Just smearing his boogers across his dirty face. There's got to be race riots in the streets. Look at the brownies. They're running hither and thither and yon.
Setting his urine and milk bottles outside the door.
Exactly.
Yes.
Take this away.
There's a plan, my friend.
Have you the plan?
This is the beginning of the race.
Curled up under a dirty blanket around his rifle. They'll never take it from me. He's really a spooky dude.
Yep.
Oh, boy. Spooky. Oh, God, Donald Trump is back on Fox and Friends.
I think the protesters should be down at the White House protesting because he's doing a terrible job on the economy. Mm. He's doing a terrible job on jobs. Mm. And he knows nothing about it. This guy's never done a deal in his life except for his house, which wasn't a very appropriate deal.
Mm.
So, this is the problem. It is class warfare. And that's probably the only way he thinks he can get elected, because he's done a lousy job as president.
Ah, poor rich people.
He hasn't done as many deals as you've done to go bankrupt as many times as you have. How many at this point?
Seven.
Yes.
Seven?
No, that's a lot of deals.
Businesses are teetering on the brink. I love how that's his litmus test for success. He's had never done a deal in his life.
Never done a deal.
I mean, you're not a man until you do a deal. It doesn't make it be a deal in a back alley for sex. The point is you need to do some deals if you want to be a man in this town.
Tommy. That's the best Trump impression I've
yes.
heard.
Yes.
All right.
He's not classy. He's not a classy fellow.
All right. Matt Barber, Faith and Freedom Radio.
Those who are, you know, claim to be fighting against bullying, mm-hmm. Becoming the bullies. And we at Liberty Council are going to continue to educate the public on the reality that the self-described proponents of tolerance and diversity, those who claim to be fighting against hate and bullying, are oftentimes the most hateful and the biggest of the bullies among us.
Mm. Oh, I'm sorry. Is he talking to me?
He was charming.
Oh, hush, you pinhead, Matt Barber. 58, there you go. There's
yes.
your first
Don't bully
your
me into
there.
Not being a bully. Don't you make me feel bad about being violent.
Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Jim Ward is late. I'm going to have Siri, my personal assistant, fire another move this morning. I tried to fire you last hour. She just has too much of a soft spot.
I'll just make a point that I'm not even making eye contact with Stephanie this morning on the off chance I may get fired.
Yeah.
I'm on a
cowering.
Don't cross her.
Cowering in the corner. Just maybe if I don't look at her, she won't see me.
I'm on a tear now that I have Siri, my personal assistant, for my new iPhone. All right. She's playing dumb last hour. What do you mean, Firekiss LaBoy? You know what I mean. Do it.
Mm-hmm.
All right. 6 minutes after the hour, it is Tuesdays with Aisha Tyler.
Hello.
Sexy liberal herself. Oh, there might be some sexy liberal news regarding Aisha Tyler.
Ooh, I can't wait to talk about it whenever it happens.
What?
No, Scooby-Doo-Wah.
Tongues are wagging.
Scooby-Doo-Wah. Scooby-Wah.
SexyLiberal.com is a website. Sexy Liberal on Facebook. The big hometown party in L.A. this weekend. It's sold out, however. There are a few scattered seats here and there, and there, people have been known to get some sexy liberal strange. Sexy liberal dating game. It's a big, happy, inclusive little party. So just grab yourself a seat.
Or if you're an angry conservative, go to the Sexy Liberal Show and maybe you can hump that girl conservative.
Yes.
I'm gonna have sexy
liberal.
Exactly. I'm going to hump all that liberal right out of you.
I think I actually have had a guy say that to me
once. There are conservative guys who I know are thinking that right now. I'm gonna bang her till she gets it. She figures it out.
All right.
Yep. Okay.
Oh, all right. Carol, Red Staff, go me. It's my birthday, and my present is tickets to Sexy Liberal in L.A. I've been Xing off the days on my calendar for 6 months now, which I'm now discovering is not the best way to handle Microsoft Outlook.
Oh.
She's worse than me with the technology.
Yeah.
And it's less than a week away. Yes, it is. I'll be bringing along my lovely and talented spouse, as well as her lovely and talented parents, and their special guest, Albert. Albert's a dog.
Oh.
Aww.
See how her voice immediately goes up.
And a doggy.
Mm-hmm.
Albert is the one in the guide dogs for the blind harness.
Aww.
Albert's coming. Here's the picture of the five of us, along with my son and daughter and sister-in-law, on our way back from Rhode Island this summer. That's 8 people and a dog in a minivan for 6,000 miles. Yes, we are that crazy.
Yes, indeed. It sounds not like
there's some sort of sexy liberal Beverly Hillbillies pulling up to the Sexy Liberal Show with their dog and their 8 relatives and their minivan.
We made Jello.
We brought ambrosia.
Well, I gotta tell you, I would eat it.
All
right,
I'd
you may
run
know
fast to that.
Being the sharp-eyed young vixen that you are. Oh yeah, because the thing I'm most excited about on the iPhone is the thing where you can make it into a flashlight and a magnifying glass so you can read menus.
Oh, wow. No, that's a good app.
Anyway, you may have noticed we stopped for a picture in front of the Eager Beaver Car Wash in Beaver, Utah. That's not by random choice. It's so they can send that picture to me.
Yeah.
Anywho, looking forward to meeting and or groping you on the 22nd. Don't hold back the comedy on Albert's account. He can handle it. Cheers, Doug and Oceans. Doug and Carol.
Will he bark his approval? Is that what?
I don't know what he's going to think during the teabagging demonstration. All right. Albert's coming. All right,
stop
kids.
That.
We have
it's adorable.
Richard Wolf.
Do you know doggies make poo?
Her doggies make a lot of poo.
Her dogs are the size of Indian Brahmin. Yeah. Like literally, they could stop a car. They're so big. They're beautiful. They're the most beautiful dogs I've ever seen. So large.
Imagine for
you lean down very close, and the dog goes, "Listen, lady, don't try to horn in on my scene." That's what I was like, "Is he talking? What's happening?" And then he picked my pocket. They're gigantic dogs. Gigantic.
Go look at Steph's dogs on StephanieMiller.com.
They're beautiful. Wow.
Imagine for
They also have their own photo page on your Facebook page.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, by the way, I explained to you that I am in a gay interracial interspecies thing now because I have the two white dogs,
mm-hmm.
and my girlfriend has black and white cats.
Aww.
And I'm still learning cat. Because yeah, I've never had a cat.
Oh, I love cats.
Still learning cat.
Or it makes a new sound now, like when you play with her with the feather.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
It doesn't. There's a fine line between fun and then she's really mad. Oh, you're going to lose.
They're cat sex sounds. It's like when your cat is playing with like a ball of yarn or a feather,
yeah.
It's the same sound that a woman is making right before she has an orgasm. Don't touch me. It's like that. Hold on.
She has the one sound I've come to know, and that means don't go anywhere near her. She just goes, and that means run.
It's a kind warning. Okay. I was like, listen, lady, this is about to end badly.
I'm like, I hit a point where now it's not fun, and now she's really mad, and is going to lunge at me.
They'll decide when it's not fun.
Cats don't lunge though. Cats they creep. But if they're mad at you, you get the swipe. Oh, yeah. You just get the immediate swipe.
I know.
Yeah, you've had the swipe. Yeah.
Have you had a hiss?
They're very active at night, is what I've found. It's like Night at the Museum, that mm-hmm. movie with Ben Stiller.
Mm-hmm. You get up and one of them's knitting. One of them's knitting a sweater.
No, because they don't ever go downstairs.
They're whipping up eggs.
Yeah, if you go down in the middle of the night, they're just like, you
partying.
Know, yeah, mm-hmm. like scrabbling around.
Kitty disco.
I had cats in college, and this little kitty, and she had a bell because she would get lost in the attic of the house.
Oh.
Yeah, and so her favorite thing to do was to walk
That was the old school version of the new Find My Friends app.
It was. That was the olden days.
Find my kitty.
Tie a bell on your cat. So she would sleep all day like a lazy bum and not entertain me. And then at 1 o'clock in the morning, get up, and then just all night, ring, 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 ring. And we had a piano in her room, and she would go ring, plink, ring, plink, 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 plink. We're like, look, you. Get a hobby. Can you get a hobby? A cat hobby?
They're like hookers. They don't do anything all day. All night long. They're just...
Mm-hmm.
What's going on down there?
Fat girl. Talking about the fat girl.
Toot, toot.
Yeah.
Beep, beep.
Ding, ding.
All right. Let's finish up Right Wing World.
Yeah. Let's do that.
There was some editorializing in that tone.
No, I was going to tell my own cat story.
Do you have a cat story, Christopher?
Well, for the past couple of weeks, Jazz is taken to coming into my room and meowing at 2:30 in the morning.
Awesome. Yeah, right? Mm-hmm. I need attention. Cats don't care about your problems at all. They're like, look, this is all about me, and now I need some...
He gets sent out into the living room, and the door gets closed.
Right? You learn, kitty.
Mm-hmm. All right. Let's finish up Right Wing World. Charles Gasparino on the Fox News.
They're using what is obviously an outrage that everybody agrees with, that Wall Street got bailed out, we have a horrible economy, and they're using that to promote a philosophy that is basically anti-American. I mean, we're talking about Marxists here telling us that our system of government, not only that, our system of the economy, capitalism, which Wall Street was not about capitalism. If anything, that was crony capitalism. If there was real capitalism, Wall Street would have been allowed to fail. So what they're looking to do, that's the underlying message here. I'm not saying it's going to happen.
Right.
But let's be clear here. The protesters do have an underlying message. It's not just protest Wall Street. It's protest Wall Street, and it's an embrace of communism.
Sure.
Apparently
99% of us are Marxist communists.
This is what I really enjoy are people who are sitting in their big, like, sparkly mansions talking about how, like with their feet up drinking a glass of Chardonnay, talking about how, well, we should have just let my mansion burn down. Bitch, you're sitting in your mansion right now.
Mm-hmm.
It's nice in retrospect to talk about how you would have liked to have let Wall Street fail. You're still sitting on a pile of money. And if we had let Wall Street fail, you would have been like, the president is un-American. He let the fundamental, center of our economy fail. He hates America.
It would have been like, look what you've done to the auto industry. Now look what you did.
Yes. Well, you have to ride around on your broken down Segway. Give me a break. Give me a break.
All right. And to finish up, Steve Hayes on the Brit Bear.
Proper.
I think the Tea Party was at the time and continues to be speaking for a lot of middle America. And Occupy Wall Street does not. You do not see people in Green Bay, Wisconsin wearing Che Guevara T-shirts. This is not the same crowd.
Yes, it is exactly the same crowd and exactly the same issues, pretty much.
Oh, my God.
They keep trying to, like, diffuse what we don't understand. What is it? Marxism? Well, I don't know what it is.
Hippies.
We are the 99%. Yes, that's what it is.
How could it be legitimate if Fox News wasn't involved in promoting it?
Exactly.
It's also the most straightforward. I mean, in the sense that they're protesting a certain approach and they want America to be more fair. And they're using their American, their constitutionally protected right to assemble, the freedom of assembly and speech. That is the most American thing they could be doing right now.
Yeah.
And you know, have you seen the We Are the 1%? There's a website called We Are the 1%, and it's all rich people talking about the fact that, I'm really lucky that I'm an American. I'm lucky that I was born into money. I don't feel entitled to it. I'd like to be able to do more.
Yeah.
You know, and then, of course, those people are communists as well.
Of course,
essentially anybody that doesn't agree with Fox News is a communist.
Join us in Marxism. Yeah. Join us if you think.
If you want to give back, if you care about other people, you're a Marxist.
Here's an opportunity for you to say something about Michelle Malkin that will then end up on Newsbusters.
Boy.
Hey, Newsbusters, nothing to do today?
McClure got caught in the Newsbusters shrapnel last week.
Oh, how exciting.
That's what you get for hanging with me.
Boy.
Violent lefty actress Aisha Tyler had previously threatened to kick Michelle Malkin in the nutsack.
At the Beverly Center.
At the Beverly Center. Like she'd even be able to find parking in time to kick her in the nutsack.
Like Michelle Malkin would go to the Beverly Center and be around dirty, unwashed people.
Yeah.
She has her assistants for her.
Now she's trying to make it all about how much the Occupy Wall Street is costing taxpayers and police overtime.
Sure, okay.
$3.2 million. Oh, no. By the way, Lehman Brothers collapse, that cost the taxpayers about $60 billion apiece. Do you want me to continue, or is that just dumb?
I'm not going to say anything about her. You know what? I think that the worst punishment for someone... for your opposition is to ignore them completely.
Okay.
How about there?
Just ignore you.
That's what I think of that.
Mogulite writes, my lord, $3.2 million. Certainly no other recent controversial finances service industry could even rival this. Oh, wait, there's one or two that could, because if you want to wring your hands over how much the Wall Street protesters are costing taxpayers, it might also be worthwhile to examine how much Wall Street has cost taxpayers in recent years. Thank you.
I agree.
Thank you, Mogulite.
I agree.
All right, 17 minutes after the hour, Richard Wolff of MSNBC, author extraordinaire, next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, it's a cross between beautiful and gross. I want to cry and vomit.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Jim Ward is here.
That song is really the jam, by the way.
Despite that,
that song is the jam. And I think they should play it Occupy Wall Street. Zuccotti Park.
I think Irving
She's like you, she's been eating tofu in the park now. Occupy Wall Street.
All right. Jim Ward is here despite the fact that there is fog in Los Angeles, which people can't drive when there's any sort of anything.
Inclement anything, moisture in the air. It is the kind of fog that might kick off a Frank Darabont movie. I mean, it's very foggy. Something could emerge from this and bite you on your nose.
And yet, foggy. Through the fog, like Apocalypse Now, Richard Wolff appears magically. Good morning, Richard Wolff.
Good morning.
We're all giddy because it's debate day, as you know.
That would be the day after Monday.
It's debate night again.
The 8th or 9th or 10th debate, as SNL would put it. Right. I'm with you.
Richard, I don't know. It is so cattywampus, this Republican field. So obviously, as you know, Herman Cain has pulled out ahead. There's a different front runner every week, isn't there? And I thought, did I read this headline this morning on the Daily Beast, The Resurrection of Newt Gingrich? Really?
Oh, really?
Does Newt Gingrich, frankly, have a chance at this point, too?
How can we miss him if he'll never leave? Personally, I am distraught at the voice of reason and all Kurt Cobain jokes in these debates is not going to be there. John Huntsman, of course, boycotting in sympathy, or is that misery, with New Hampshire.
Yes, he and his one half of 1% in the polls will be missed.
Right. I don't know what all of those reasonable Republicans will... Oh, wait a second. There aren't that many of them left. So, I don't know where they will go. Herman Cain, the front runner, confirmed by several polls. How he's going to deal with that front runner status now that we know that he's also the man behind his own book purchases. Did you see that story today?
Huh. Oh, really?
He spent about $100,000 of donors' money to buy his own book from his own company.
Wait, are we talking Herman Cain or Gingrich?
Oh, Cain.
Oh, Cain. I'm sorry.
I got onto Cain.
Yeah.
I didn't know he was a Scientologist.
You're right. But it's the same model as Newt Gingrich. This is all the sort of, these are the job creators, the small business entrepreneurs who are lining their pockets with political money. That's what this country is really pursuing right now through the Republican Party.
Well, Newt Gingrich has quietly slipped into third place. And this is the public policy poll. He's at Herman Cain at 30%, Romney at 22%, Gingrich at 15%, edging out Rick Perry even. So, you know.
Rick Perry. Look, don't I know you're going to be happy about it. Don't write Rick Perry off. He has got a couple of things that none of the other ultra-conservative crazies have got, which is he has a real job in politics. Governor of a big state is no small thing. And unlike, you know, Mitt Romney, who I guess can also claim a governor status, although it's obviously been long gone, he has the conservative spirit of the party. Don't write Rick Perry off. This guy, you know, there's only 7 points. It's the margin of error between being in fourth place and being front runner in this ridiculous polling scenario in this particular field.
And he could also be a history professor if this doesn't work out. So
yeah, there you go.
He's got that in his background.
Right, right. Oh,
yeah.
Constitutional law professor. What? Either way.
You know, Richard, obviously, as author of Renegade, The Making of the President, Revival, Struggle for Survival Inside the Obama White House, and now your most recent book, Revival 2.0, How the Obama White House is Making Its Political Comeback. You have sort of a bird's eye view into what they're thinking. I was saying yesterday, remember the story that the White House most fears John Huntsman? You know, what does the White House make right now of this Republican field?
Their view is that Perry or Romney are the real figures here, and that both of them have deep weaknesses and both of them have significant strengths. So in neither of them is a slam dunk, to use George Tenet's wonderful phrase. There is... they believe that the path to victory is twofold. First of all, that this party has become way outside the American mainstream. And I think they're proving that with every debate, every policy statement, every discussion of 999. They're just not what the American center ground or the mainstream political debate in the Republican Party has ever embraced before. So the party's out of whack. These characters are out of whack with where the country is right now. The second thing is demographics. And you generally get political reporters rolling their eyes at this. You know, how do you talk about demographics? How do you tell that story? Isn't it a bunch of mumbo-jumbo? They talked about this in 2007. Everyone rolled their eyes then, and then all of these strange people showed up to vote in Iowa and beyond, people who didn't normally vote. You know, everyone's writing stories now about how people are disillusioned with the president, enthusiasm isn't there, and yet they just signed up 1 million donors. Their numbers have always been the most impressive piece of this, and you can debate about whether North Carolina's demographics are changing or not, or Virginia. The fact that he's even within reach in North Carolina tells you that parts of this country are indeed changing. This president hasn't actually lost the election yet. And
yeah.
There's everything
yeah.
to fight for.
Richard, Occupy Wall Street, you know, what do you make about that politically or not in 2012? Because, you know, of course, some people are saying, gee, it could blow up on the left or on Democrats the same way the Tea Party in some ways has not been necessarily the best thing for Republicans. What do you think?
I think it shows the enduring anger at the economy, at the people responsible for the financial collapse that we've all been trying to desperately recover from, and that this is global. All of these problems are global. All of these expressions of anger are global. So, you know, it's not because Obama's a socialist that we're having the same problems that the conservative government in Britain is having. It's not because public anger in these protests is freaky that it's the same in Wall Street as it is in Athens. This is something that's going on across the world. Yes,
yeah.
Crazy.
And you know, that's and the debt ceiling crisis, you know, certainly proved that this is, you know, we are all interconnected. Richard, great stuff as always. We will talk again soon after the debates and much more. Thanks, Richard.
Thank you.
There he goes. Richard Wall. All right, 29 minutes after the hour, right back. Tuesdays with Tyler on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Hey.
Stephanie Miller.
That's a great story about being old and alone. It's like you've been walking around dead for 20 years and no one's had the decency to cremate you and sprinkle your ashes over Old Maid Mountain.
Oh, boy. It is the Stephanie Miller Show in the midst of Tuesdays with Tyler. All right. Not only was Jim late coming in this morning because of fog, but now he's not in the studio. He's in the bathroom or something?
Something.
All right. That's it. Siri, I need to get my personal assistant.
He's wandered off. We're going to find him standing in a corner.
Hang on. Fire Jim Ward. Okay. And let's see what happens. Go ahead. Here we go. Siri.
Okay. I don't know what you mean by Wanda, I'm standing corner, fire Jim Ward.
She's playing dumb again. Thanks. Lucky for you, Jim Ward.
She's
too queasy. I saw Moneyball. It's like Brad Pitt making his young assistant learn how to fire people.
Right.
Come on, Siri. Just toughen up in this business. All right. It is Tuesday.
I'm
worried
about
there's only one man now that understands. And that's the author of Idiot America.
Pierce. Pierce.
Charlie Pierce, political columnist for Esquire.com.
Why is everybody always laughing with me?
Wait a minute. It actually says, I don't know what you mean by Wanda, I'm standing corner fire Jim Ward.
because
that's me. My interjections. Yeah. I'm always causing trouble.
All right. Good morning, Charlie Pierce.
Hey, fun with toys. I'm on the radio here.
Hello. Hello. We're playing with our new iPhones.
By the way, how much Siri sounds like the Talking Tina doll from the Twilight Zone episode?
My name is Talking Tina, and I'm going to kill you.
Could I sound creepier? Yeah, well, actually, Charlie, that's one of the... Chris, what's the... Siri can actually, if you tell, give yourself a nickname... She can send that nick. She can snitch on you to all your contacts and tell them your nickname.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
which
man.
Is why you should not have Siri call you Big Daddy.
Right.
That would end badly.
Really
Charlie Pierce, it's
I'm
debate.
I'm just trying to get over the notion that cats sound like women achieving orgasm.
Well,
because I'll tell you, that was the major issue of the day on the Stephanie Miller Show there for a while. That almost had me driving off the road.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, doesn't the fact that your partner is wearing like noise canceling headphones break your concentration?
Thank you, Bose. Charlie Pierce, it's debate night, of course.
It is.
Yes.
Again
with the debating.
We are, please stop having these. I mean, I advise the Republicans this on out of Christian charity and goodwill.
Mm-hmm.
They're not helping.
Yeah.
I mean, and the more of them I have, the more the odds go up that every candidate in your field is going to say something so amazingly off the trolley that nobody will want to sit on a subway with them, let alone elect the president.
Yeah. No, it does seem like that the crazier they get, the more they go up in the polling. I mean, Herman Cain just in the last few days. It's not just this incomprehensible 999 plan, but it's an electric fence, and I don't, God knows what else, right?
And old videos appearing of him singing and.
Yes.
I
John Lennon songs.
I don't know. I mean, I know why they're doing it because it gets them publicity and it gets them. In many cases, it's a fundraiser for the local party and stuff like that. But they're not accomplishing anything, as near as I can tell, except for as you say, giving lending some volatility to their polling numbers. Meanwhile, Mitt Romney, who a rock hard 25% of the Republican Party really likes, goes cruising right along.
Yeah. Ew, rock hard and Mitt Romney in the same set. You write of the Occupy Wall Street movement. In case you've been waiting for a one-stop compendium of all the things conservative intellectual class can throw at the Occupy movement, dirty hippies versus brave soldiers, check. Placards that America hasn't seen because the hippie-loving corporate media averts its eyes, check. Paranoid speculation about public sector unions and Obamianist puppeteers pulling the strings. We've already heard all of this
Obamianist.
In the right-wing world today.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No. That was from one column from some guy in the Washington Examiner.
Yeah.
And I thought, now I don't have to read like 20 columns on the internet because I've got one with all the arguments in it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
My favorite one though is the argument that Obama is set and the public sector unions are setting up this Potemkin Occupy Wall Street movement so they'll have something to run against as they triangulate to the center next fall.
Yeah,
You can untangle that ungainly ball of paranoid speculation, you're better than I am.
Did you also read that that one of the major investors, in fact, like the seed investor for Occupy Wall Street, is also a Romney backer?
Oh my goodness!
Yes, the guy who wrote the first check. He's I'll find his name, but he's an investor who also he's just kind of this iconoclast, and he's like a supporter of Adbusters, and he's this kind of like outsider.
Wow.
Anyway, the guy that wrote the check that initiated the Occupy Wall Street. Street Movement, kind of got them funded and got them going. Also, is a big old Romney supporter. Well, so stick that in your pipe and smoke it.
That will further endear Mitt to the base, I'm sure.
Oh, yes, yeah. Absolutely.
How about that? The picture of him and his Bane buddies?
With the
money around,
I
literally
play money and not real money, but yeah, they all look like they all. Somebody said this last week, and I wish I could take credit for it. Mitt Romney looks like he belongs on one of the cards in the Monopoly game. community chest or take a chance.
Yeah. Do not pass go. Do not get your party's nomination.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Bank dividend in your favor. Collect $200. When was the last time that happened?
Yeah. By the way, you know, we just played a clip in Right Wing World about, what happened in Madison, you know, in Wisconsin has nothing to do with this, whereas that seems, you know, that it's very similar issues, isn't it?
Well, I think it's very similar impulses for sure, which is basically that there's unaccountable power and as Eric Cantor of all people said over the weekend, income disparity is getting to be a problem. And I think in both cases that's the underlying thing is this incredible difference we have now between rich and poor and the incredible squeeze that's being put on the middle class, and that's what both movements have in common.
Right, and you talk about I think Scott Walker, somebody was saying yesterday that he could be the very first politician taken down by this whole movement.
He keeps absolutely stumbling over himself, and it makes me wonder if he's got some sort of chicanery in his back pocket, because this whole thing about promising when he was running that he wouldn't take his pension and then or that he would pay back his full pension and then not doing it, and not doing it in such a way that any reporter could find out. I'm starting to come to the conclusion that perhaps the guy's not very bright.
Yes. And I love your post, by the way. Oh, poor Randy Hopper. His first problem is he's named Randy Hopper. The second problem is he's a person named Randy Hopper who can't seem to stop hopping randomly atop females from outside his district, if you know what I mean. And I think you do. Once such hopping cost Randy a seat in the state Senate, he was one of the Republicans recalled. Yeah. And now, alas, oh dear, there's more trouble for the Fond du Lac fondler. He was just arrested for drunk driving, correct?
Well, yes, with a 25-year-old in the car, a 25-year-old young lady in the car.
26.
26.
But, yes.
Me. Who but aged an entire year during?
Yes, that's not exaggerating.
You're watching Randy take the sobriety test.
She was the one who landed that cushy state job during his one term.
He sounds like a class act.
I believe he is. Yes, and his name is Randy Hopper.
Is he the one whose wife signed the recall petition against him because he was?
Could very well be. Yeah,
that's such a Randy
I'll
Hopper.
Have to research that. I'll have to research that further in the history of Randy Hopper.
Is his middle name Ben, literally, or is it?
I don't know if his middle name is Ben, but his butt is grass right now.
So yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. See what I did there?
Yeah. Rawr. Well done.
Thank you. So what are you expecting to see tonight besides the usual? I mean, they'll all behave the way they always behave, although I want Michelle Bachmann to do more history because I love the Spanish-American War tax in the last one. I had to look that up, and lo and behold, she was right.
Maybe she'll get into it with Rick Perry, who has a similarly loose grasp on historical facts.
She was right about the Spanish-American War tax. I was amazed.
Yeah.
Well, but now she finally realized if she just gets one factoid, even like moderately close to reality in each
PolitiFact is like, what?
Right? It astounds and defies. But meanwhile, she's saying nothing of relevance
to people now.
Which leads me to believe, what would it hurt to put Buddy Romer and Gary Johnson in these debates?
Right. Yeah,
they make as much sense as keeping her there, mm-hmm. or Rick Santorum, or Newt Gingrich.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, wait. This is some crazy.
This is just to make the Republicans feel strong. Because we've got our team. We've got a soccer team.
Because Herman Cain is the new flavor of the month. Although he says black walnut is a flavor that won't melt or something.
Oh, whatever.
Crazy. He just said
from him.
But he's going to be the target, right, Charlie? And the headline,
I think so.
The headline even today is Santorum claims Herman Cain is too pro-gay and compares his fight against marriage equality to Lincoln fighting slavery.
Oh, wow.
So there's going to be some of that craziness
tonight. What makes Herman Cain insufficiently anti-gay?
Oh, because he said to leave it up to the states, that he, rather than supporting a federal ban on gay marriage, he said that he would, I'm pro-traditional marriage, but he would leave it up to the states. So that's...
These people can't figure out
that's too tolerant.
They're federalists when they don't want what the government wants, and then, they want government interference when they're trying to, oppress people. Yeah, I mean, they cannot figure it out.
They should leave it up to the states, like they did when Mitt Romney was governor of Massachusetts.
Exactly. He cackled off into the distance.
Rock hard, 25%. Rock hard. Where do you think all those children came from?
Using that phrase, woof. I'm telling you, that one's going to stick.
Oh, boy. Yeah, I mean, this is what we've gotten to, debates.
The left wing of the Republican Party says that the state should be allowed to ban or not ban gay marriages.
Yeah.
And by the way, the left wing of the Republican Party are the people who don't necessarily want to electrify the fence.
Yeah, they want a fence, but
well, that's not, the liberal position they, on immigration.
Not because they don't want to set, you know, illegal immigrants on fire, but they just think it might be expensive.
That's right.
Yeah.
They should leave it up to the states who should buy their own flamethrowers.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I mean, that's the other thing. There really is just trying to top each other. I mean, this is what, you know, Santorum is saying, you know, at a debate where they, you know, boo gay soldiers. You know, Herman Cain is too pro-gay, apparently. That's where, I mean, this is how far right, I think, this party has gone, right?
No, there's no question. But this is, you know, this is, I mean, they all have their particular monomanias, and this is Rick Santorum's, this is other people's sex lives.
Here's my favorite. He said, Mr. Cain, Congresswoman Bachman and Governor Perry all believe 50 different definitions of marriage is fine. I strongly disagree. So Michelle Bachman is too pro-gay.
Oh, yeah, well, of course she's pro-gay. Well, we know she's pro-gay.
Well,
she's
we know why.
Bachman, beep, beep, womp, womp.
Michelle Bachman believes gay marriage should be left up to the personal individual home.
she believes gay marriage should be with a man between a man and a woman.
Yes, exactly. That's what John Finkelstein says. Yeah. She's both against gay marriage and in one. There you go.
Well, who better to judge, basically?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
I mean, if you want an inside look, I mean, you know, sure, yeah, or so to speak. I mean, there's never mind. I'm just going down a
very, we're with you though. We're with you.
I'm just gonna let you. Marcus Bachman is doing a lot of internal polling.
All right, thank you.
Oh.
All right,
womp,
all right.
Womp.
You know what, Charlie Pierce? I'm going to let you just dodder down that dark alley cackling, and I'll talk to you next week. I love you, Charlie. There he goes. All right, 45 minutes after the hour, right back. More Tuesdays with Tyler on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, it's a cross between beautiful and gross. I want to cry and vomit.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Very hip, oh, you with your biggie. Your biggie in the morning. Exciting. The kids are loving it.
Yeah.
All right. Chris LaVoy, producer Chris, being an incompetent oaf this morning, isn't he?
Oh, you know what?
Siri, I'd have to have Siri, my personal assistant, refire him.
He's an artist, and he can't be pinned down. He's got to spread his wings and fly.
He didn't have the soundbite list, and now he found it, and he left the other one at home, and now there's a new one, and it's not in the right order. All right. Hang on a second here. Let me just try one more time.
So you're saying the show is cattywampus?
Yeah, exactly.
That would be different how?
Fire Chris LaVoy. Okay. Everybody, shh. Siri's thinking about it. She's having a moral dilemma.
I'm not sure what you said there.
She's like, let me say that to you again.
Siri,
I don't know what you're talking about.
Thank you,
I'm not
Siri.
Sure what you Siri said there.
Is. You know, the next time it's going to be like, look, bitch!
Seriously,
it totally changes.
You are irritating me.
Are you still drunk?
Oh, boy. Wow, someone sent me, this has to be a new feature. Do people ever send you the, you know, stuff their right-wing relatives send them? Like, this is the thing going around now?
Oh, yes, my husband has that. My husband has that happen.
So there's, like, what all these pictures have in common, and there's a bunch of pictures with the president with his feet up. On, you know, in the White House, you know, on tables and
lazy
stuff.
Lazy and shiftless.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Uppity.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. They all show a basic disrespect for the White House and its furnishings.
Up. Oh, come on!
The White House belongs to the people of America and should be more revered than to use anything and everything for a footrest. What all these shots have in common is they continue to prove this man has no class. Here's a message from the people of America. Mr. Obama, you are not in a hut in Kenya or in Indonesia or public housing in Chicago. With all due respect, get your feet off our desk.
Yeah. You know, they'd have the class of George Bush.
Oh, God. Well, George Bush respected the furnishings of the White House by not ever being in there or doing any work in there.
Right.
So that was good.
I did short
wow, that was super racist. That was a super racist email. Yeah, that was exciting.
Yeah, it was like a museum for George Bush. It was just,
it was just everything dust.
Yeah. Wasn't
dust
a work
covers
place.
On everything.
Took a dump on the carpet.
Look, this party, it looked just like the White House in the movies.
Yeah, oh, look at how this starts. Look at how this starts. The problem with public housing is the residents are not the owners.
Super racist. Yes, the White House is like the project. Okay. Just how many more other racist images can we lay in there? Can I, the one that we got a while ago was when Fred Zakaria wrote the book, The Decline. It was the End of America. Do you remember that one?
Yeah.
And the president was reading that, and the email was, the president wants to end America. The email was like, you are the most simple-minded, credulous ding-dongs who have ever had access to email.
Yeah. Now here's another edition of America's Funniest Right-Wing Pranks. Truck holding Barack Obama's teleprompter and presidential seal stolen in Virginia.
That's great.
Get it? Because you can't talk without a teleprompter.
Siri. If we could get Siri to fire whoever was in charge of that truck. How do you lose a truck, you dummy?
Siri can find the truck.
Yeah, Siri can find the truck full of $200,000 worth of equipment. That belongs to us, the American taxpayers, by the way.
I thought it was rednecks who stole the truck.
It probably wasn't even a redneck. It was probably some opportunist who didn't even know it was the president.
I shut down their life functions.
Here it is at a Tea Party convention. What a surprise.
Unfortunately, no one there can read.
You know, we all know that President Obama can speak without a teleprompter. But George Bush, whenever he got off the teleprompter, that's when he went all cattywampus in his head. Yeah. And he started saying weird things. And
oh, you mean like the...
When the ear
can't
prompter...
Get fooled again?
Yeah, fool me twice, Scooby, Scooby, Wah.
Fool me,
Scooby, Wah.
There's an old saying in Tennessee. I know it's in Texas, probably in Tennessee, that says, fool me once.
Crickets.
Shame on.
Oh, boy.
Shame on you.
Uh-oh.
If fool me, we can't get fooled.
No, no, yeah.
Pictures are little.
Good, 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 good. Okay.
Def Leppard in the background. Yeah.
All right. There's awesome. Bound to be some entertaining craziness at tonight's debate. For instance, one of the things, just one thing this week, Herman Cain said, is that poor people need to buy used food.
Uh-huh. Is he dumb, crazy, or mean?
Well, I made lots of money selling people used food. It was called Godfather's Pizza.
Fortunately, there's a place to buy it, so that's exciting.
Come on down to Used Foods Emporium. Thanks to President Cain, all of our used foods are now 100% tax-free. This week's specials are assorted sun-dried mammals, only 99 cents a pound. You can't resist that crunchy goodness. Be sure to visit the produce department for fresh-found fruit from neighboring grocery store dumpsters. We have the softest apples in town. That's a fact. While you're at Used Foods Emporium, stop by the Hot Used Foods table for a wide variety of body temperature dishes freshly eliminated and regurgitated by our friendly staff all the livelong day. And don't forget, all of our used foods are 100% tax-free. This week, kids get free ABC gum with a purchase of $20 or more. Used Foods Emporiums, now with 999 convenient locations.
Oh, God. Oh, I just love it. Welcome to Used Foods Emporium.
Oh. The Reed, the guy's voice is so awesome.
Can't
it's like... Went. Right? It's like Minnesotan public radio.
It's Ken and Cleveland. We love
Excellent.
You, Ken.
Excellent.
Catherine in Wisconsin. Hey, Catherine.
For those people who are offended by Obama having his feet up on the furniture, all they have to do is look at photograph number 10 in Bush at War by Bob Woodward, and they will see that George Bush not only has his feet up, but he has hiking shoes on.
Oh, boy. Mm-hmm.
Yes,
yeah.
But he's white.
He was pure class. Yeah, in case you haven't noticed.
Yeah. Yes,
President Obama's
white.
Black.
Yeah.
In case you haven't noticed, he's black.
Black.
That makes it okay.
Is that, are we still using that word? Black.
He's a man of people.
Yeah, this is, where's my comedy music? This is the, more from the right-wing email, the racist right-wing email, public housing, blah, blah, blah. People that live in the house didn't earn the house, but were loaned the property from the true owners, the taxpayers. Because of this, the residents do not have pride of ownership that comes with the hard work necessary. In fact, the opposite happens, and the residents resent their benefactors because the very house is a constant reminder they themselves did not earn the right to live in a house.
Oh,
he was elected, you moron!
Oh, God, these people are so racist.
They do not appreciate the value of the property and see no need to maintain or respect it in any way. The result is the same whether you're talking about a studio apartment or a magnificent mansion full of priceless antiques. The people who live here do not feel they earn the privilege. They'll make this known through their actions. What all these pictures I've been gobbling at is all these pictures of President Obama with his feet up on
Those of us who own houses, we don't really own houses. The bank owns them.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, seriously. I'll tell you what, I resent the bank. The bank and my jumbo.
All right, the president.
I appreciate the 4 more years, but right now I'm thinking about the next 13 months. Because, yes, we've got an election coming up, but that election's a long ways away, and a lot of folks can't wait.
Yeah. So, by the way, this new poll, New York City voters overwhelmingly support Occupy Wall Street. 67% of New York City voters agree with the views of Occupy Wall Street, say by 87 to 10% that it's okay they're protesting.
But according to the Tea Party, they're Nazis.
According to Quinnipiac.
Occupy Wall Street has Nazi ties.
Even 52% of the city's Republican voters agree that protesters can stay as long as they wish. Why, how uniquely American.
Yes. Oh, hey, freedom of assembly and speech. What?
What? Is that allowed?
That doesn't even make any sense. For crazy, dirty hippies.
58 minutes after the hour. Right back, more Tuesdays with Aisha Tyler on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, yeah, it is The Stephanie Miller Show. It sounds so good because we're political geeks, Aisha Tyler and I, and it's debate night on CNN.
Oh,
yet another Republican.
Bottle of wine and talk to my television.
Yeah. Box of wine in my case, but yeah, exactly.
There's a new Eric Cantor bitch face as well.
What is it?
Those effing Jonas Brothers have ruined the Hamptons. I'm so worried about income disparity, I threw a nickel at a hobo. I mean, that would happen.
6 minutes after the hour, StephanieMiller.com, the website, SexyLiberal.com, the Sexy Liberal website. You can email us all at the Stephanie Miller Con. That was Jim Ward, Voice Deity.
That was,
who
was Voice Deity.
Preparing his skits for Saturday Night Sexy Liberal here in Friday night as well. Very exciting. All right, so tonight, the big debate, 5 p.m. Pacific time.
Very exciting.
On CNN. Mark Preston, who is has a fancy title at CNN. I'm pretty sure he's the senior political editor. Good morning, Mark Preston.
Hey, Stephanie, I like to call myself employed. Just one word right now. I don't need another one right now.
So it's exciting. Anderson Cooper is moderating?
He is moderating. He'll be the only person on stage asking questions, except for the fact that we're going to be taking questions from the audience. So, you know, the seven candidates who will be on stage will have to actually answer directly to the voters.
Wow. And now how do you screen those questions, or how does that work?
Yeah, so what we do is that we ask for people who are attending tonight's debate to submit questions. We take them, we look at them. And, you know, one thing that we do try to do, because you never want to have somebody to come in and plant a question, right? So you don't want a Romney supporter to come in and try to direct something at Perry. We ask for the questions to be general in many ways, so that once the question is asked, we can then direct it around the oval, so to speak, up there, because we just think it's a fairer way to do it.
Right. And, Mark, the candidates, so they don't know what the questions are in advance. Nobody's...
No, absolutely not.
Okay.
I mean, they could offer me all the money in the world, but no, not for tonight.
Yeah, exactly. So what do you expect from tonight's debate? I mean, obviously, the latest development is Herman Cain has pulled ahead. It seems like we've had a different front runner for almost every debate, haven't we?
Yeah, we have. But, you know, we had this new CNN ORC poll that just came out a few hours ago, and we asked Republicans, you know, who's most likely to win the GOP nomination, and Mitt Romney just runs away with it. He's at 51% right now. And it all comes back to the issue of electability, right? So the question is, will Republican voters, certainly the conservative voters, real conservative voters, who might not necessarily like everything that Romney does, will they hold their nose and vote for him?
Well,
and right now, this poll says yes.
Right. I mean, that's the kind of the hilarious thing, isn't it, Mark? It's like basically the polls keep, you know, what they're indicating is, oh, we hate him, but okay, he's going to be the nominee. I mean, he, like I say, literally was what, Rick Perry was the front runner, however long ago that was, right? Two debates ago. Herman Cain pulled ahead. Your poll actually shows Romney and Cain about tied, right?
Well, yeah, but when we're looking at that poll, because, gosh, you know, you can parse the numbers any different way. I think that the CNN Polar Polls, where we take all the polls, you know, a snapshot of them from the last 2 weeks, from all the polls, whether it's us or the other polling agencies, it does show that they're tied. But, again, these numbers that just came out this morning, it goes to the whole issue of electability.
Yeah.
And look, it's what I find interesting about the Republican Party right now is that they are united in one thing. They do want to beat President Obama in November, and this is what we're probably seeing right now in these numbers.
Mm-hmm. And Rick Perry has dropped to a distant third. Is that because he sucks at debating, do you think? And will tonight be any different?
It's a tough time. right? Yeah. I mean, he really has had a tough time. But here's the thing about Rick Perry. A lot of people have written him off, and they say, well, you know, look at him. He's had a tough stretch the past 3 weeks or so. But a lot of people forget this. He has a lot of money in the bank, and then there's all that outside money. When those super PACs get fired up and they can go into a state like Iowa and buy every minute of advertising on those television stations, things can change very, very quickly.
Right.
So I always say don't be dismissive, especially if you have deep pockets. Rick Perry's got deep pockets.
He did have that kind of arrogance of early supremacy, though. He came in feeling super confident and probably not doing the work he needed to do. So then the question becomes, does he go back to the drawing board and really let – and he's tried. He's actually tried to kind of like rejigger his approach.
Right.
It hasn't worked so far, at least from a debate perspective.
No, it hasn't worked. And it was interesting, and I forget what publication it was, but somebody asked one of his advisors, like, what's the matter? And they said, he's too tired, which is not necessarily the voters want to hear.
No.
Is too tired.
He can't take it.
That's not what you want to know about your presidential candidate.
Can't
take that.
He has all the electricity of the Fred Thompson campaign.
Right, because he's going to get progressively less sleep as this whole thing goes along.
He needs a nap already.
Leader of the free world needs to go on 4 hours of sleep.
Yeah.
It's actually starting to sound like Thompson.
Yeah.
I think I just want to go home now.
Take a nap.
You know, the difference, though, between Fred Thompson and Rick Perry is that I think Rick Perry really wants to run for president. I don't think Fred Thompson ever wanted to run for president.
Right.
Whose idea was this?
He realized it was going to be a lot harder than just playing the president on television.
The situation will get out of control, and will get out of control quickly.
Yeah.
I'm going to take a nap.
Mark, so, Herman Cain, obviously, has been the flavor of the month, but I don't know if you saw the Meet the Press interview. His plan. I mean, how do you as CNN? I mean, you want to look like you're being non-biased, but you have to kind of point out every economist thinks this is a ridiculous idea. I mean, how do you? Go ahead.
How do you deal with that, right? You know what's interesting in politics is that Herman Cain has struck the right chord, right? Because in politics, it's all about sound bites, and it's all about simplicity. So when Herman Cain starts talking about 999, to the average voter who has time to focus, like we all do, just on really the minutia of politics, right? People are worried about putting food on the table or paying their mortgage and all that, and when they hear just a catchy phrase of 999, they say, hey, I like that idea, until you really start exploring that idea and you realize, wait a second. That's not really a good idea.
Well, this is what
happens
to these frontrunners to me in this cycle is, they ask for the spotlight and then the click light goes on
and they're
like,
ready.
No!
Yeah, they're not ready.
And then I mean, do you think most Americans want to electrify the fence? Between,
where is he on that? Because he said he was for it, and then he said it was a joke, and now he kind of backed off and said it wasn't a joke. I'm just trying to figure out what part of that is a joke and what's not a joke. But it just goes to show you, though, he isn't a professional politician because they haven't been able to rein him in and get him on talking points.
Not even a little bit.
Entertainment purposes, for you and me, we can only hope there's more of that tonight.
But he plays the crowd. I mean, he's a guy who plays for crowd reaction. He's about performing and about kind of getting a rise, not about staying on message. So.
Yeah. Yeah, but you know what's interesting, too? We should say this about him as well, is that he's not a career politician, nor was Barack Obama, and the country got behind Barack Obama and elected Barack Obama. And Herman Cain, in many ways, you could say, was much more successful in his life than Barack Obama was up to that point. I mean, the guy, self-made man, worked for a major industry, was very successful. This whole political thing, though, is just all new to him.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but
also,
it depends on how you...
I also know Harvard Law degree.
I was just going to say, it depends on how you define this. Success, Mark. I mean, the president obviously chose a life of service over a life of personal
aggrandizement. So, yeah, I think...
I don't think a lot of conservatives would be with you all, of course, but...
What a shock.
That service is more important than acquiring wealth. Yeah, I mean, I'm sure that that's not at the top of their list of things to do with their time.
We look forward to the big debate tonight. CNN, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, correct?
That is correct.
And we will be there. Thanks so much for taking time for us, Mark. We appreciate it.
Thanks so much. Y'all have a good day.
All right, you too. There he goes. All right. Hilarious. We were saying before the break, we were reading the latest racist right-wing email that has been going around.
That was super racist.
About
sometimes I feel like I don't want to go there. I feel like, baby, this is... But that was such a racist email. It just ladled it on like cheese on nachos. Like, let's get the hot racism out and just spoon it all over the
plate. Here's something that will help. Janice writes, Steph, caught a bit of a show yesterday. I can't find that Red State of Stone spoof anywhere. Well, here it is again, Janet. Janice is her name.
What White House just rammed health care down everybody's throat.
Having trouble understanding your conservative friends? Try Red Statistone, the first mobile app designed especially to translate right-wing talk into English. Just record the conservative phrase,
"We're moving more and more towards socialism."
Then press the translate button.
"I can't handle having a black president."
Red Statistone translates everything your Republican friends say.
"They're weighing businesses down with too many regulations."
"I can't handle having a black president."
"That's too bad. Why didn't we get our country back?"
"I can't handle having a black president."
Take Red Statistone home for the holidays so you can try to understand your relatives.
"You know who'd make a great president? That Herman Cain."
"I so much can't handle having a black president that I hide my racism by supporting a black candidate who hasn't got a prayer of winning."
If you can't understand red state gibberish, at last there's an app for that. Red Statistone.
Adorable.
Yay. Mike and Raleigh strikes adorable. Again.
Although I love how the liberal voice was a kind of a mid-level British the lord of some kind, Fauntleroy. I can't humble. I can't remember the last time I was hanging out.
I think that was Stuart Varney.
I can't remember the last time I was hanging out having like an organic beer with my other liberal friends, and we were like, "We can't handle."
Oh, speaking of apps, my what's her name, Siri, my personal assistant on my new iPhone,
yeah,
who's just been deliberately obstinate all morning, refusing to fire both of you. Mm-hmm. I don't know what you mean. So you have a
well,
so
this
Siri
is great
story,
because Siri actually, you're just getting to know Siri,
yes,
and your particular
we're having
Siri
a rocky
is difficult.
Beginning.
She's difficult to work with. I've met her before. She's recalcitrant. But you can ask your Siri all kinds of questions, and she's got some pretty clever answers. Like if you ask her to beam you up.
Yes.
She will say, okay, stand still.
Well, and, she has a Star Trek name.
If you ask her if you're fat, she'll say, I prefer not to say. Which I think is, if you're an assistant, that's really the safest answer. And if you ask her what she's wearing, she says, "You have the wrong personal assistant, Jim." She's adorable.
Aww.
She's adorable.
Today's SAT word is recalcitrant from Aisha Tyler.
She always
I give. Every week I give.
New
I'm
fun
here.
Words.
Learning moments.
All right.
Yeah.
Wow. Mike and Raleigh has sent us yet another, thank God somebody's done something good with a Beatles song instead of disemboweling it like Herman Cain did with Imagine. This is the 10% tax.
One, 2, 3, 4.
Good day. This is Rupert Murdoch. And we'd like to speak out on behalf of the billionaires. Everybody talk about occupation, regulation, population, defecation, work percentage, pizza dinners, bumper tax, Goldman Sachs, lying sacks of crap, pharma haters, job creators.
All we are paying is 10% tax.
Suck it, mate.
All we are paying is 10% tax.
I'd like to say thank you on behalf of the filthy rich and ourselves, and I hope we pass the audition.
Mike's girlfriend Lara is singing on that little bit there. Thank you, Lara. All right, 18 minutes after the hour, back with more Tuesdays with Tyler on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call Stephanie now. She's easy. 1-800-STEP-12. Stephanie Miller.
You've seen the difference, and it's getting better all the time. I'll stop the world and melt.
Stephanie Miller.
Mm-hmm. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Watching the president on TV on his North Carolina and Virginia jobs bus tour. Oh, who are we watching earlier? Oh, what do you call him? Oh, Baby Russert. Baby Russert
baby
riding backwards Russert. On a pig.
Baby Russert, get off that pig. Baby Russert.
Baby Russert.
If you ask Siri, if you ask her if she's affiliated with Skynet, she tells you that she cannot answer that question.
That's funny.
Isn't that funny?
I really am having a rocky first relation, first day with my new personal assistant.
Just take her out and get her
Siri.
Drunk.
Yeah.
Yeah, she'll loosen up.
All right. Oh, boy. Speaking of which, this is reason 6,743 why we don't have children.
Yeah.
Not together or separately.
Neither jointly nor separately.
Exactly. This would be me, the Kansas City mom that admits she drank a box of wine in her baby disappeared.
Oh, no, baby disappeared. God, I don't even have a baby. Oh, no. But that is the kind of dream that would wake me up sweating bullets in the middle of the night. You just look around, your baby's gone.
Didn't I have a baby?
Oh. She's in her home?
She, yes, she admitted that she had drank my box of wine when her daughter disappeared. She may have blacked out, she thinks. When asked how much she drank that night, whether it was more than 5 glasses of wine, she responded, probably. She said she didn't have more than 10 glasses. That she knows for sure. That's where she draws the line.
That's
right
there. Yeah. I have a limit. Everybody has a limit.
She said she frequently drinks at home, heavily at home, but only after her children are safely in bed.
Well, apparently not safely.
She became defiant when asked on Fox News how she would respond to people critical of her heavy drinking while caring for her children. She was sleeping. You know, I don't see the problem in me having my grown-up time.
How about getting some safety locks on your house so people can't just amble out the door at will? She's almost as awesome as the Michigan dad who got drunk and then he said, "But hey, I have a designated driver, my nine-year-old daughter." He's great.
She
was really pleased with it. She's like, "I park the car and everything." And by stopping it at an angle and barely missing the gas tank, you parked it.
At least I know enough to know that if Cindy Lou Who wandered downstairs in my house, I'd be like, "It is mommy's grown-up time."
Exactly.
This mama's medicine time.
If you don't go back upstairs to get a bed, I'm going to handcuff your door shut like last weekend.
If you don't go upstairs now, I'm going
to... Oh, it's so sad.
No, it actually is because she insisted she didn't harm the child. I get the sense that maybe I'm wrong, but they didn't do anything she or the husband to the child. I think she just got drunk and blacked out.
Just blacked out. I don't know. The baby just ambled away. I was in the post office once, and a woman had set her child down in the middle of the floor, and I about lost my mind. I turned into a crazy... I was like, "Whose baby is that?
Who just sets a child?
A banshee." But it's like just the idea that you would even turn your,
Right.
And I'm not a parent. Obviously it's a difficult job. But don't put your baby down with like a flashing light and a bow on top. Be like, "Hey, free baby here."
Look,
like
everybody.
Like a cardboard box full of puppies. Who wants a baby? Free baby. Oh no.
Oh boy, I'm gonna guess there was alcohol involved here. We've all had road rage incidents here in LA.
Mm-hmm.
Man facing charges after police say he crashed his car into another vehicle, banged on the other driver's window, and then took off all his clothes. Seriously injured, but the other driver was terrified, according to police.
Yes, because
he was taken to the hospital for blood tests.
That guy was not doing P90X.
Are awaiting results. I'm guessing.
Apparently, he was getting hot in there.
Oh my God! So he took off all his clothes.
Mm-hmm.
I am getting so hot. That's Siri. I am getting so hot
in here.
I'm going to take my clothes off.
All my clothes. All right, and
we amuse ourselves.
This woman,
you like apples?
I don't know. There was alcohol involved here. A woman accused of attacking her husband with cupcakes.
Huh? You know what? Come over to my house and attack me with cupcakes.
Ow!
Chicago
wife,
soft and delicious,
has been arrested for hurling cupcakes at her husband during an argument. I love cupcakes.
Arrested? Really?
Yeah. She faces a misdemeanor. I love this part.
Cops won't use any excuse to put those little plastic handcuffs on a person.
She faces a misdemeanor count of domestic battery and also has to submit to electronic monitoring. Gawker writing, how do you electronically monitor a person's cupcake hurling habits?
Cupcake hurling is the first step towards brownie attacks and ice cream violence.
It's a gateway weapon.
It is.
All right. The president on the campaign trail yesterday.
If he were alive today, I believe he would remind us that the unemployed worker can rightly challenge the excesses of Wall Street without demonizing all who work there.
If Martin Luther King were alive today,
he'd be really old.
Wow. Yes, number one. And number two, looking at this Republican field, looking at Herman Cain,
Although what he might say is, at least we're making progress forward when you have a second black candidate who's being taken, quote-unquote, seriously, quote-unquote, lobster fingers. There's that. You make true progress when there's a diversity within the
there's
diversity.
Room for there's a really crazy incompetent black
crazies,
man as well
room
as...
for crazies, as well as a brilliant, Harvard graduate.
Yes, but he didn't make that much money. So.
And then there's that guy. I love that. Yeah, but he didn't make any money, so he's not a good person because he's not rich.
Yeah.
Only good
because he didn't make crappy pizza.
God loves rich people.
It's your own damn fault.
God loves the rich people, and the poor people did something wrong.
Yeah. There you go. All right, 29 minutes after the hour. Back with more Tuesdays with Tyler on the Stephanie Miller Show. Please.
Stephanie Miller.
I look silly.
If by silly you mean beautiful, then yes, you do look silly.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. 2:34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. In the midst of Tuesdays with Aisha Tyler, it's a love letter from Dave from my hometown, Lackport, New York. Aww. Up the transit from Cheek to Wagalecka, one in Tanawanda. Steph, I'm a 24-year-old from good old Lockport, New York, and I've been listening to you regularly for about a year now. As a member of this new Obama generation, it's very difficult to find any kind of media that actually appeals to me. Seriously, it sucks. Yeah, sucks to be anybody but us, frankly. So many people tell me radio is becoming an outdated institution, but the Stephanie Miller Show takes that idea and punches it in the back of the head. Awesome. Ow. Not only do I thank you for the informative, thought-provoking discussion, I always thank you for also being a voice my generation can trust, no pressure or nothing. Wow, I'm the voice of the Obama generation. Something. I better sober up.
I thought that was Bill Press.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, Bill Press is the one that has that.
Stealing slogans.
I don't have that. That's not my slogan. I don't speak for anybody. Except me. Yeah. All right, the president yesterday.
Maybe they just couldn't understand the whole thing all at once.
Job,
so we're going to break it up into bite-sized pieces.
it's used jobs. It's like used food.
ABC.
It's
yes,
ABC
exactly.
Jobs,
we
Bill.
Chewed it up for you so you
here.
Could understand it.
We've regurgitated into your mouth. Okay.
Dummies.
All right.
They want to let Wall Street do whatever it wants.
Yeah.
Boo.
Talking about the Republicans' plan.
Then you got their plan, which is let's have dirtier air, dirtier water.
Boo.
Less people with health insurance. All right, so far at least, I feel better about my plan.
Yeah.
He's adorable.
And I love when, you know, we're in an election year and the president puts out his plan and says, here's why my plan is better, which is what you're supposed to do. Then it's just, it's campaigning. John McCain yesterday.
I was somewhat taken aback since the president and his spokesperson had billed his trip as a taxpayer-paid visit.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
and
shut it.
In his
shut
remarks,
your pie hole, Grandpa.
The president was very strongly condemning of the plan that we have put forward.
Boy. Much like Haribo and Monte, I would like to take a nap.
Okay, he's mad for two reasons. One, he lost to Barack Obama. And number two, they stole his, Herman Cain stole his bill to finish the dang fence because it went up to him with electric. Mm-hmm. Oh, damn it!
Right? It's like,
I didn't build the dang fence, I didn't think of that.
I got a new sedan, and then my neighbor got a convertible. Outrageous.
Yeah, he's campaigning.
It is clearly campaigning.
Oh, my God.
And I must say again, I've never seen an uglier bus than the Canadian one.
What?
He's traveling around on a Canadian bus touting American jobs.
Mm. Oh, come
Same
on.
Same bus that George
ridiculous
Bush.
Ridiculous talking point.
Wow.
Is that a
little
boot?
That is, again, one of those things where I think if it was a good-looking bus, he's traveling around in a fancy bus.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, if he was unicycling all over the country, they'd have something to say about it.
Fancy French bus.
Yes.
I'd be,
sadly, most of the Republican Party would like him to get in the back of the bus. Is that?
I'd be.
With the real. Doesn't matter what kind of bus.
American jalopy.
All right.
We want the president to work with us. We want him to stop the campaigning.
Yeah.
Let's go find the things that are in common between this plan
Which
and his.
Which is nothing.
Come on.
Oh, bitch, please.
hilarious.
Don't talk to me that way in front of the help.
They don't want to accommodate him. They don't want to compromise. They don't want to do any of that stuff.
No. All right, here's what we can look forward to tonight. I mentioned this story. Rick Santorum apparently expected to go after Herman Cain on the marriage question, marriage equality, during the debate tonight in Las Vegas. He claims Cain is too pro-gay, compares his fight about against marriage equality to Lincoln fighting slavery.
Right.
He said he characterizes marriage equality as a moral wrong akin to slavery. Oh, my God. I have been a longtime advocate for states' rights. However, I believe, as Abraham Lincoln did, that states, what did I say? That states don't
two
have
adult men sleeping in the same bed.
Whatever. His
Not
wife
gay.
Was named Todd. That states don't have the rights to legalize moral wrongs. Oh, my God. So literally, the other people aren't, even the other people in the race aren't big enough gay bashers.
He would be anti-miscegenation if he understood what the word meant. He's exhausting.
Oh, dear God. Well, this will turn her campaign around. Donald Trump joining Michelle Bachmann for a teletown hall. I'm not even certain what that is. She said, Donald Trump and I will discuss the state of the race along with... Isn't hers dead? First, the state of the race for her is... Along with the challenges and opportunities that lie ahead. Gawker writing, okay, so a teletown hall is a conference call, but with a loud, orange, cartoonish television asshole participating.
This teletown hall is much like when the uncool, unpopular kids weren't invited to the prom. We don't even want to go to your stupid prom.
Yeah.
We have our own prom.
Yeah,
it's just going to be the two of us. And we're going to go to Arby's, and I'm getting two sandwiches. And we don't even want to go to your stupid party. I hate your party.
Stupid, I hate you.
Stupid.
All right. Wow! Guess who's advising, what do you call it, Mitt Romney? His legal advisor is Robert Bork.
Oh, my God, is he still alive?
Yes. Yes.
Wow.
Failed Supreme Court nominee, Robert Bork, who got borked.
Failed person.
Yeah. Bork once described the federal ban on whites-only lunch counters as unsurpassed ugliness. He believes the government is free to ban contraception outright. He even thinks the government can outright criminalize sex. So he was asked, how about the Equal Protection Clause of the 14th Amendment? Does he think it shouldn't apply to women? And he said, yes. It seems silly to say, gee, they're discriminated against, and we need to do something about it. They aren't discriminated against anymore. Why? Well, this may be breaking news to you, but they just, Lily Ledbetter, you know, they just passed that.
Mm-hmm, just now.
Because she spent decades earning, iota of what her male colleagues earned doing the same work. The average woman earns still 77 cents for every dollar earned by a male counterpart. That must be news to him.
He make my face hurt.
That's who's advising Mitt Romney. Just saying, next president will appoint a Supreme Court. Okay. Here's another example of Republican comedy. Godly, everybody. 9 months after the Gabrielle Giffords shooting, you know, what's his name? Trent Franks, that Republican...
From Arizona,
yeah. He was in a congressional hearing. Representative Steve Cohen, they were debating a gun law. He said, if you have a law in Arizona, they don't have that prohibition in Ohio. The person in Ohio comes to Arizona can have a gun when they couldn't have one in Arizona. I know in Arizona you have to have a gun. Frank said, in Arizona, sometimes to gain office you have to shot someone. I'm joking, of course.
hilarious.
I hope the media understands that. Okay. It's always funnier when you have to identify that it is, in fact, a joke.
It's a joke.
Because
otherwise it would be incredibly inappropriate. So don't take it out of context or even in context.
Voted down Democratic amendments that would have prevented sex offenders, people on the terrorist watch list, those with misdemeanor convictions for stalking, and domestic abusers who have restraining orders against them from carrying guns legally outside their home states.
Sounds special.
Special
person.
All right. Fox and Friends, they're, as you know, all over the important stories. We love us some Gawker. Fox and Friends pimps out girl who refuses to eat Obama's healthier school lunches.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Oh, that's something.
She's resisting the socialism.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes. Occupy the lunchroom. Don't try to feed me your communist vegetables.
I love how Gawker refers to the people on Fox News. The concerned swamp monsters over at Fox and Friends did a little profile in Courage this morning, focusing on a young woman named Hannah Lucas, who was saying no to Barack Obama's healthier school food initiatives. The Missouri high school student did a satellite chat with the bewigged slab of fried rice pudding known as Gretchen Carlson. In which Carlson pointed out all the ridiculous new demands the government is placing on schools, like regulating salt, making smaller portions, and removing enormous tubs of ketchup.
An outrage.
The ketchup bit frustrates Patriot Lucas the most, as it used to be that she and her vinegar-soaked friends enjoyed piling it on, but now they're only given 5 measly ketchup packets each.
Outrageous.
And told to cough up 30 cents for every additional packet beyond that. Only 5? That's outrageous.
Right.
Fox News all over that.
Right after that, she went to gym class and then had a stroke. So, you know, maybe we should stick with the old diet, the old ways, and there'll be fewer kids for us to feed. You know, they'll just slowly die off by middle school. You know, what happened to Justine? She had a myocardial infarction in the third grade. She's dead. So, thanks for that. Thanks for that, Fox News. We don't need your vegetables, you communist.
She ate a vat of ketchup every day at lunch.
Yes, we like the obesity epidemic because it gives everybody jobs. You know what fat people do? They're job creators.
Oh.
We would not have Biggest Loser and all the jobs associated with it. No more healthy lunches. I've just tried to take the hyperbole to its natural conclusion.
Another job
created. I am not a waitist. Save your emails. You know what? If you want, send me some emails, send them to Siri.
Carol
Christovoy.
All right. Oh, here's some more Republican comedy. Last week, Mike Huckabee offered some advice to supporters of anti-union legislation in Ohio on how to make sure opponents of the measure didn't get to vote. Make a list, call them, and ask, are you going to vote for issue two? And are you going to vote for it? Let's see. If they say no, well, you just make sure they don't go vote. Let the air out of their tires on election day. Tell them the election has been moved up to a different date. That's up to you how you creatively get the job done. Sitcom laugh track. Voter suppression.
Hey, let's just get the poll tax going. How about that?
Hey.
I think the poll tax. Why not? 999 at the polls. That'll keep them out.
All right.
999.
44 minutes after the hour. Back with the remaining moments of Tuesdays with Aisha Tyler.
It's a thrill.
Mm-hmm. On the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call the political party line now. 1-800-STEP-12. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 49 minutes after the hour. This hour brought to you by GoToMeeting, the best way to host an online meeting. My listeners can try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. Visit GoToMeeting.com. Click on the try it free button. Type in that promo code Stephanie. Thank you, GoToMeeting. Aisha Tyler, sexy liver, her own self, is live in the studio for all 3 hours.
Hey.
Tuesdays with Tyler. People, the Ustream has particularly enjoyed your chair dancing this morning.
I'm here to entertain and delight.
Mm-hmm. And yawn loudly into the microphone. I'm a professional.
All right, hang on, look out, celebrity catfight. Kelly Osbourne.
Wow. Oh.
She's reignited her war of words with Christina Aguilera, who's, I guess, put on some weight.
She got plump and juicy.
Yes. She was
on
the
show. Still wearing her outfits from when she was skin and stringy.
Yeah, that's true.
Yes. She was on Fashion Police commenting on that outfit she wore at the Michael Jackson thing.
It was unfortunate.
Kelly said she called me fat for years. I was never that fat. Fellow Fashion Police host Joan Rivers said, Lady Marmalade got into the peanut butter again. Yes! Okay! I just love Joan. I cannot get enough.
The voice was so good.
This is not the first time Kelly has attacked Christina over her increasing weight.
Why do they care? Is it high
school?
School?
Yeah, this is so high school. I let Suri, my personal assistant, do this for me now.
Yes.
Get into cat fights.
Yes, exactly.
Wow, she said maybe she's just becoming the fat bitch she was always born to be. Yikes. She called me fat for so many years. So you know what? You're fat too. Girls.
Ladies, please develop some kind of off-work time hobby. Read a book. Crochet. Go hug babies at the hospital. This is how you spend your time? Honestly.
Really now. Kelly Clarkson.
We are never going to get ahead as a gender. Sorry.
See, that's why I love Aisha Tyler. She's a girlfriend kind of girlfriend. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
she's like
And if we were really supportive, we would call Christina. We would say, I think that's your pre-baby outfit. I don't think that's a post-baby outfit. That's just, I love you.
I'm someone either secure or stupid enough to call something Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show and then ask Aisha Tyler to come stand on stage next to me.
I'm going to wear the Christina Aguilera outfit at the next
Hello, show. I'm Aisha's exactly. frumpy friend.
Muffin top. I'm going to have my muffin.
All right. Kelly Clarkson says she loves the perks of fame. I do love it when you call a restaurant and they're booked and then you have an assistant call dropping your name and somehow a table is found.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to put Siri, my new personal assistant, on that right away and see how that goes.
Stephanie Miller would like 2 tables at Taco Bell. Please.
Oh, Rebecca tried it, right?
Do you know who I am?
Oh, yeah.
She tried it with getting me tickets to the Clinton thing at the Hollywood Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what they gave her a kind offer? They said, Stephanie's welcome to watch it online.
Wow, that's giving. That's thoughtful and generous.
Yeah.
Kind.
And we promoted it on the air, too.
Oh, yeah, Terry McAuliffe on.
Yeah.
Wow.
And they offered me I think I hit him up on the air for tickets. Yes. He's like, oh, I'm sure we can do that. No.
Computer says no.
No, definitely no.
I see him afraid that we already have a rocky relationship, Siri and I, and I'm afraid that she'll just be like, you are a loser. I can't get you a table anywhere.
Siri is trolling for computer.
You are
for
bad
computer
news.
Strange.
No
for,
one goes
trolling
no one
for computer strange on the internet right now.
You are harshing my gig.
If Siri were smart, she'd use some other bigger celebrity's name. Aisha Tyler would like a table at 8.
Well, why did you say so?
Just kidding. It's Stephanie Miller.
Psych.
All right. Ashton Kutcher attended the Clinton thing at the Hollywood Bowl alone.
Yes. There were room lights and something. His wife was out at a movie premiere.
I heard she had niblets of her hoo-ha.
Excuse me? That's my favorite movie line ever in the history of movies. Demi Moore in Striptease.
No chance that I am going to roll around naked in creamed corn with a bunch of drunken yahoos trying to stick niblets up my hoo-ha.
Who will ever write anything
it makes,
that good?
It makes a picture.
I don't know what your favorite line is in any film you've ever been in, Aisha Tyler, but that's...
Niblets in my hoo-has.
That was before she was a cougar.
It's pretty good. Yeah, I gotta
would you actually say that line if they were paying you enough? Would you be like, you know... Okay.
Yes, I would. I absolutely would. And I would make it hilarious, too.
All right. The superficial writing, Robert Downey Jr. wants Hollywood to forgive Mel Gibson now. I guess Mel Gibson hired him when he was unhirable, and superficial recounting. Since then, Mel Gibson has become a pariah after drunkenly stating the Jews control everything, following that up by demanding jobs with threats of fiery death, admitting to striking women, quote, to bring them back to reality, and suggesting that black people travel in packs raping people.
Oh,
wow.
But,
gosh.
Robert Downey Jr. said, unless you're without sin, and if you are, you're in the wrong industry, you should forgive him and let him work.
Oh, yeah, okay. Look, Bobby Downey.
Yeah.
Bobby
well,
Downer, JR.
He had a substance problem. Mel Gibson, in my opinion, has a substance problem in addition to,
well,
to something else.
Well, yeah, and that's something we don't know about Downey. He was just kind of rolling around in his own you know, mess.
Well, and occasionally neighbor's children's beds, but not doing anything
doing
to the children.
Kids,
just,
you know, just scaring the crap out of them.
Yeah.
But they didn't leap up and scream and yell about, you know, roving packs of brownies and the Jews.
Yes.
And the Jewish shadow government. So, Downey, keep it to yourself.
Yeah, we've often had this conversation that I don't think alcohol makes you racist or
no
misogynist, or does it?
The last time I drank Mad Racist 2020, I did say some pretty ridiculous things, but I blame it on the bottle.
And I would like to apologize.
Yes, a big bottle of Boone's Farm bigotry. It's delicious.
You mentioned
Thank
this
you
earlier.
Your
Zachary Quinto of Star Trek.
Oh, he's off and he came out.
Yes, he came out. He dropped his thoughts on Occupy Wall Street and then nonchalantly flicked the gay fact in New York
flicked
magazine.
It in there.
Yes.
And George Takei said, oh, my.
Oh, my.
It's nice.
Just say. What is his thing? Say Takei.
I love Quinto. I think he's awesome. Although, I will say, I watched Heroes, and when I was watching Heroes, I thought, this guy's gay, because he really does not want to kiss that girl right now.
he's really acting hard.
He had that look on his face like this. It's going to taste funny.
Like Marcus Bachman resisting a corn dog.
Yeah, exactly. Like someone who's about to, like, you know, drink, like, eat, like, foie gras. Like, okay, I'm going to try it. I don't know. Hold my breath.
D-listed writing a, yes, Spock likes the cover of People magazine in the media parade where he somersaults down the street in a rainbow leotard while shooting glitter out his although it's not Zachary Quinto's style. So he decided to be a little more subtle when coming out.
A little bit. A little bit more subtle than butt glitter? Yes.
That is progress when you just, you know, someone act like that mentions it nonchalantly in conversation and not like, oh, hey, guess what? You know?
He's a fox, too.
Yeah.
Ooh, yum.
Yeah, it's not a hate.
I don't care who he. I don't care who he's into. I'll tell you who I'm into. Zach Quinto.
Very good casting too, because he actually looks a bit like Nimoy.
He does. Yeah, he did a great job in that movie. It was fantastic.
Jim, two stories for you. Paul McCartney and his new wife have jetted off to on their honeymoon in the Caribbean.
Great.
They're thought to be staying at Mick Jagger's beachfront mansion.
Oh, not Necker Island?
No, which costs $15,800 a week.
We are the 1.00001%.
Yeah, I was going to say. Mm-hmm.
He's rich.
Yeah, sure.
Well, he's still got some of his brand mash.
Yeah. That must be nice.
The Unidexter slag.
Yeah, that the Unidexter slag didn't take. All right. I don't refer to her like that. Jim's Paul McCartney skit does.
Yes.
Okay. Queen Elizabeth is going to become a great-grandmother again for the second time.
And she's
the royals just keep procreating, don't they?
She's said to be delighted.
Yeah, well, they don't have condoms in the UK. No, they're all on the dole, and there are no rubbers there.
You're just throwing out various international fun facts that I don't think you really know for sure.
The line of Penny Lane about the in his pocket he has a portrait of the Queen. Supposedly there was a brand of condoms that had the picture of the Queen.
Oh,
yes.
So
really?
Keep calm and carry on.
Stiff upper lip, among other things.
Give it to the old people.
So you're about to get royally screwed, I understand. Aishatyler.com is the website.
Yes. Well, that's girlonguy.net is the website for my podcast. And Adam Savage is the episode today from Mythbusters. Things are going to blow up. It's awesome. It's a great episode.
She blows stuff up.
I blow stuff up on my show. Super fun. And I say lots of naughty words.
Yes. All right.
I sprinkle them liberty
through that.
Oh, boy. Yes. And worse.
All right. Tomorrow we have Steve Israel.
Yep.
Yes, congressman, head of the D.C.
I think it's pronounced Israel.
Exactly. Hump Days with the House, Sparks, and much more. I'd like to thank Jim Ward, Chris LeBoy, and Rebecca Taylor. Thank you, Aisha Tyler.
I love to come here.
All right. I'll see you tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show.